Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, big Wednesday transmission lined up for you today. I was about to say Tuesday. I mean, these weeks just go by like bam, 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 bam. Nigel Farage, one of the most outspoken, eloquent fighters for liberty and national sovereignty against the New World Order takeover, crime syndicate, member of the European Union, puppet parliament, in his own words, is going to be joining us in the last 30 minutes of the show today. Good job getting him. He's hard to get. He's so busy. So good job. What producer bagged him? Good job, John Bowne. It's good. Continuing, we have Mr. Wesley Rawls joining us. James Wesley Rawls, best-selling author, patriot. He's got the new book out, Survivors, a novel of the coming collapse. Excellent book. Can't put it down. A few months ago, Weldon Henson's like, have you read this? You can't put this down. The publisher sent us a copy. And I looked it up. Of course, it was a bestseller like his other books. And then I ended up reading it. Just amazing page turner. And, you know, I'm not into fiction, but this parallels reality, has a lot of real characters in it. One of his earlier books, you know, has patriot leaders like Mark Kornke in it in a future collapse type situation. I forget the title of that book. I read it like 10 years ago. Side issue, it doesn't matter. He's going to be joining us coming up in the second hour. And yes, we're selling the book at Infowars.com. And your purchase of the book funds this operation. And I am attempting to expand our operation in the face of all sorts of garbage and the economy imploding, as you know. So I appreciate all your support. I know that your hard-earned money was hard-earned with the globalists trying to put our country into cardiac arrest. And I know that a lot of you have PrisonPlanet.tv memberships that buy books, videos, T-shirts at Infowars.com and that support our sponsors. Do so because you believe in this information and see how effective it is, and we appreciate you. We couldn't do it without you and a lot of new books and videos that we are carrying in the online video bookstore at Infowars.com. Now, here's what I want to do, because I'll never get to it if I don't. I did like an hour-long interview. It was close to an hour with BBC reporter, investigative journalist, former federal fraud investigator Greg Palast last night, and I wanted to air just a short 5-6-7 minute clip from that interview coming up. We'll do that in the next segment, and then I'll get into all of the crazy news. And yes, I do want to try to go to your calls this hour instead of having people hold into the next hour. So I'll just do it again. First-time callers, whatever issue you want to raise or talk about, you want to go ahead and get lined up, we'll get to your calls, hopefully. The toll-free number to join us is 800-259-9231. And I do a few days a week, like to open the phones up to first-time callers because it's such a giant audience with so many new AM and FM affiliates out there that we want to give people a chance to chime in and also bring up subjects that a lot of times I was even meaning to cover today or the day before or a month ago but forgot to get to. And callers will bring up so many important topics and take us at unexpected angles. So we'd love to hear from you. 800-259-9231. Now, you know about Illinois. Well, now it's other states are not allowing children to bring their own lunches. That's so you can buy the government food, the GMO garbage that the local fat cats are getting paid for. Got to buy your food from the company store. It's an old sharecropper system to keep you under their control. But now they're throwing away good, healthy lunches. You're not going to eat sprouts. You're not going to eat a salad. You're not going to eat part of a T-bone left over from last night mama sends with you. That's going in the trash. You're going to buy from the government. So that's in the news. And the Associated Press and others are reporting on this like it's a good thing. So we're going to be breaking all of that down straight ahead. And we're going to get into a ton of other geopolitical news. They're warning of domestic terror attacks. Stay with us. This is hardcore information straight ahead.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Okay, I'm going to go to a short clip of Greg Palast here in a moment, investigative reporter for the BBC from a TV interview I did last night on the Nightly News, and he's going to be back on the radio show live tomorrow getting into more of this with us. I also have Rosa Corey, who's just an amazing grassroots fighter and expert on Agenda 21. The reason I like having her on is because when I hear her talking about Agenda 21, I've done all the research separately and can confirm that she knows exactly what she's talking about and is an exciting voice, added to the mix with her experiences as a forensic realtor that fights eminent domain. So she's going to be joining us tomorrow. Nigel Farage, member of the European Union Parliament. He's kind of the Ron Paul of England. He's well known pretty much in that vein and almost as popular. Hasn't been around as long. He's younger, of course. Now, he survived a plane crash and almost died a year and a half ago, but he's back and really having a big effect. The fastest growing party in the UK, and it's spreading to the European Union. He's fighting the open announcements of world government. He's going to be joining us coming up in the last 30 minutes of the show today. Best-selling author James Wesley Rawls of the new novel Survivors is going to be joining us. First time I've ever interviewed him, so I'm looking forward to that coming up in the second hour. Also, we've got new Fast and Furious news, giant news on the terror front. In fact, when I read this type of news, I've got to really, really try to just ask everybody to take a deep breath and listen to me carefully on this information. When you see media hype, when you see government hype about imminent Iranian attacks in America, and the fact that the U.S., Israel, and NATO and England are staging bombings and attacks inside Iran, and you've got the head of the National Security Council, Clapper, calling for provocations with Iran, you've got the history of Cheney, Pulitzer Prize winner Cy Hirsch exposed, wanting to paint up U.S. boats like Iranian speedboats and have Navy SEALs attack U.S. ships 5 years ago. Then that came out about 3.5 years ago once Cheney left office. Cy Hirsch was too scared to publish it until he left office, and I understand why. He's the guy that broke the My Lai massacre, everything else. Again, two-time Pulitzer Prize winner. You can't get any more credible than Cy Hirsch. You've got that going on, and now you've got him hyping, get ready for the Iranian attack. In ABC News, in Associated Press, heightened security in U.S. over Iran threat. And you add to that the U.S. troops massing, the NATO troops massing, all of this going on, all of this unfolding, all of this happening. And then you have the Navy SEALs with Ed Asner telling him that a attack is imminent, a false flag attack that Navy SEALs are telling him is about to happen. And then off record, he even gave me the sources, names, and information, and I've called him. I'm playing phone tag right now. You've got all of this going on, all of this happening. I mean, this is the season of false flag. Like I said 2 weeks ago with that big emergency alert, and I said, look for him to start hyping Iranians are going to hit the U.S. Look for him to start hyping this ahead of a new war. They could easily pull off a new 9/11. Say Iran did it. Clamp down on domestic freedoms, deploy the TSA and regular army on the streets that's all been announced that they're in preparation for, start shutting down the media, suspending elections, anything could happen. Now, to be clear, I'm not saying this is going to happen, but we're in the sights, we're in the crosshairs, we're in the danger zone. This is big time. So I'm going to be breaking that down. It's all unfolding. And so this is certainly white knuckle time right now. Let's go ahead and go to a clip from last night's Nightly News with Greg Palast, where I was bringing up the fact that so much of what he's talked about has now come true. I mean, he was the one saying News Corp was a mafia spying on people and influence peddling and giving sources to the police sources that the system could then basically go out and go after whistleblowers, all of it. He was a guy who broke down in 2002 the plan by the big banks to implode Europe and then the United States, just like they've done third world countries. He said Argentina, its destruction in 2001, 2000 is the model of what they're going to do here. And it all happened. So I brought this up to him, and this was his response to that last night.
Of saying, yeah, I told you so. I think it is worthwhile because it gives credibility to the material that we did put on before. I should note that I'm a lucky guy in one way. You might not see me on US TV except, you know, bless you, Alex, especially on Valentine's Day, then kiss you. but I do have the world's largest news network behind me, putting me on a primetime BBC television. Now, do understand that BBC, when I got the documents from inside the IMF, and now we do see Greece on fire. There's a chapter in Vulture's Picnic called The Generalissimo of Globalization, where I actually have these documents from inside the IMF, World Bank. And because of my position in journalism in Europe, I was actually able to confront personally the Director General of the World Trade Organization and put these inside confidential documents and cables in front of him. That was his opportunity to say, oh, it's all made up. It's a bunch of conspiracy junk. He verified everything. He tried to talk away their meaning, but he verified everything that I had, all the documents I had. When you see Greece on fire, I saw those documents. I also spoke to the inventor of the euro, Bob Mundell, and who said, you know, basically is saying this was in the plan. The idea was to – he wanted to end – he wanted to make sure that there was a sell-off of all the government properties in Greece, et cetera. You have to set a fire if you're going to have a fire sale. He thought that this is the best thing that's ever happened. These guys, this was the purpose of the euro. He said – he was very upset, he told me, that democracies – get to kind of vote on their fiscal and monetary – they have fiscal and monetary control. He wanted to create a mechanism – the euro, which would be, which would make elected parliaments and congresses and presidents subservient to an economic formula, and the economic formula is called the the 3% rule. There's a German word which I can't pronounce that they use, but that was the purpose, was to basically create something that would replace democracy. In fact, by the way, I spoke with, you know, because of my position, I get to meet all these heads of state, etc. And I've met with Carlo Monti, the new prime minister of Italy, the new chief of Italy, and Monti, you know, has not been elected. He's just a banker. That's, you know, you don't get to choose anymore.
They call him a technocrat. I mean, even the Economist says it's good to not have countries run themselves. We, the technocrats, will run it now. And as you said years ago, when you got to meet, you know, with the head of the organization, the World Trade Organization, they admitted this is how we were going to take over. But then it's they're the ones that sold the fraudulent debt and got the governments to sign on. They're the ones that actually have most of the debt. And so they do this Svengali judo move where they're set up as our bosses, even though they're the progenitors of it. It's insane.
Yeah. Well, in fact, in the case of like Greece, I call it a crime scene. In particular, the Greek government, to stay within the euro, both the so-called socialists and the so-called conservatives there had cut a private deal with Goldman Sachs to hide their true deficits. And this was true most of the countries, but this was particularly done with Goldman Sachs and had to do with trading euros into yen and dollars and back. Technically, on paper, it looked like Goldman Sachs took a multi-billion dollar loss. Well, Goldman Sachs never takes a deliberate multi-million billion dollar loss. That's nonsense. In fact, it was covered up by a secret agreement to pay them back at massive charges, with massive usurious charges. I mean, you couldn't call it anything else. Plus a $500 million fee on top of the massive interest rates that they were collecting, all done in secret. When this came out, of course, then the Greek bond market, the market for Greek bonds, completely collapsed, and people rightly, in a way, asked for massively high interest because, you know, they say we're victims of a fraud. Now, why, you know, someone asked me, actually, one of the band members, from, if you remember Dire Straits, asked me, well, how come they weren't arrested? Well, the United States, the Securities Exchange Commission is supposed to arrest the government of Greece? Because after all, it was a conspiracy between two governments and Goldman Sachs. And here's the deal. Instead of Goldman being busted, they get money from the European Central Bank. They get totally bailed out. They get fees for handling the bailout. And then their guys take over the country and they buy up the assets of the country, the shipping, the beaches, the
islands. I've seen cases in the news where they owe a brokerage firm that sold them crap $3 billion. So the head of the company goes, I'll take an island personally for $3 billion. I mean, and it's all through fraud. So I guess Madoff's problem and Ken Lay's problem was the frauds weren't big enough and weren't so giant that it'd bring down the whole system. Here's my question for you, and then I want to go back to the News Corp thing, because people say, hey, you cut him off when you got to the part about CNN. Where is it all headed now with MF Global? Whereas, you know, the head of the commodities board was the former minion of Corzine. Corzine gets caught in Congress lying. Of course, he ordered the now $1.6 billion transferred to London. And then he doesn't get in trouble. And I was talking to Max Kaiser today. He said, look, this is just going to signal a new level of stealing going after segregated accounts. So, A, where is it all headed? And then, B, going back, what is News Corp from your deep research and understanding? What is it? More of a mafia organization? And then tie it in to the host that took over Larry King's slot that you were trying to get to when I interrupted.
Okay, that's quite a tall order. First, Corzine, who was governor of New Jersey, but he was also, you have to understand, he was the CEO of Goldman Sachs before he became governor of New Jersey. Now, why don't they go after Corzine? Why isn't he read his rights?
I've seen the longevity products work for many others. And so I bought a bunch of them, started using them, had a little bit of results, but I wasn't following the regimen every day. But Aaron Dykes in my office did and lost more than 60 pounds. When I saw those results, I said, I better follow my own advice. I started taking the longevity products and it's been incredible. 37 pounds in 2 months. Our bodies are amazing, and God gave us an incredible gift. But if our body doesn't have the tools it needs, all of the vitamins, all of the minerals, and the other key essential trace elements, we're not going to be healthy. Folks, this isn't hype. I only bring to my listeners products that I've tried myself and I truly believe in. And the amazing supplements available at InfoWarsTeam.com have certainly delivered my life. I hope you'll give them a try. Go to InfoWarsTeam.com today and order your first canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Complete Multivitamin Mineral Complex Dietary Supplement. That's InfoWarsTeam.com.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
IRS, the three most dreaded letters of the alphabet. If you owe back taxes, have unfiled tax returns, are receiving threatening letters, or have IRS agents coming to your home or place of business, you need an experienced IRS agent fighting on your side. Call the Tax Relief Division of the Law Offices of Craig Zimmerman at 800-798-7085. Spearheaded by a former IRS agent, we know how to negotiate a reduction in the tax you owe, stop wage garnishments, lift bank levies, and negotiate an affordable repayment plan. With 17 15 years as a practicing attorney and an A-plus Better Business rating, we'll get the IRS off your back once and for all. In fact, recently, when an IRS employee had a tax problem, she called us. Stop being afraid and call right now for your free consultation at 800-798-7085. The phone call is free and there's no obligation, so call 800-798-7085. Again, that's 800-798-7085. Actual results based on individual client circumstances.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
In a coming-apart world, you need something to keep it tied together. That something is Atwood Rope, the highest quality rope made in the USA from exotic braids for military, rescue, arborists, shipyards, tow line, or boating. Quality rope at affordable prices you and your customers can depend on. Find a dealer or shop online at atwoodrope.net. Enter promo code RADIO to receive 100 feet of 550 paracord free with purchase. Atwood Rope, working to keep the world tied together.
Let's go back to a few more minutes of the amazing interview I did last night on InfoWars Nightly News with Greg Palast. I mean, this is such an incredible show, the radio show, with all the guests, the callers, the news. But the TV show, I mean, it is just amazing what we do every single night. The guests, the news, the video reports. I know they're working on a whole bunch of really special stuff for tomorrow night and some surprises. But let's go ahead and go back to the point of Corzine. Why he's untouchable. Listen carefully.
Why don't they go after Corzine? Why isn't he read his rights? I mean, if you shoplift, you know, if you shoplift a screwdriver from a hardware store, they're gonna read you your rights. You shoplift $1.6 billion, and they invite you to Congress to just give a chat. Why? What the answer is? What he has on these guys, and who else is in on this stuff? Now, I got a glimpse of it. I can't get it all, you know, because I just don't have all of the roots in. But I did have a document, marked confidential, from Tim Geithner, who is our Secretary of Treasury, to Larry Summers. It's in the book Vultures Picnic. In fact, you can see it at my site, vulturespicnic.org. It was a cable written by Geithner to Summers talking about how they were going to use the World Trade Organization to squeeze any nation that got in the way of our banks and didn't join in the deregulation fest that was going on. So they're going to punish nations, in particular Brazil. Now, why is that important, that this discussion? The answer is that Geithner told Summers, who was at that time Secretary of Treasury, now and until recently was Obama's economic czar. Why did Geithner, our now Secretary of Treasury, right to Summers? He was telling him to call the top five bankers in America before they pulled the trigger at the World Trade Organization, because could bring down, and did bring down, the world.
And then he goes on to list those five bankers. The full videos at prisonplanet.tv, and how they basically give orders because they control the private shares and the private Federal Reserve. Just like in Europe, they're going under total banker occupation. And you just heard Palast, who actually has the video of the interview on the BBC, it was like 3 years ago, with the head of the World Trade Organization admitting that the euro was meant to take over what was left of sovereignty in Europe and impoverish them economically. And I was on IMDb last night because I was trying to remember the year I put out a film, so I had to go there to remember. They had trivia of Alex Jones, and in the trivia section was quotes, and I did look at the quotes. They are some of my quotes. And one of them is, it's all out in the open. And then I did a search on that and found that it's like a joke that I say it's all out in the open. No, it's all out in the open. And that's why I'm basically to the point of tearing my own hair out. Not that there's much of it left. I mean, it's all out in the open. They put poison in our water, poison in our food. I was reading a Washington Post article last night on the nightly news, and I actually kind of flipped out just in the dark satirical humor of it. In fact, I'm going to go get it out of the TV studio here during the break and cover it when we come back. I'm sitting there, and I'm reading this Washington Post article, and I think the reason I flipped out on air a little bit last night was because I had never read the article. Usually I've read everything two or three times, or at least looked at it a few times, before I get on air with it. But in my stack, I tell the guys some of the news I want to cover. They bring up some news. I had said, yeah, put that in the news, but hadn't really looked at it. So I'm reading the article on air. And hidden in plain view, it says, and of course I already knew about this, but it was just the reading it, the way they dryly reported on it. It was a headline about Monsanto mad at farmers because they're not planting enough non-GMO crops. And it was a factoid I'd known for over a decade, but I'd just kind of forgotten it or hadn't consciously taken the meaning myself. And it hit me like a ton of bricks while I was reading the article, how huge it was. And you're like, okay, well, what is it that's so huge? When we come back from break, I'm going to go get the article, and I'll cover that and then get into the big Iran terror threat we're being told about, a repeat of 2003 with the Iraq invasion, but they could kick off a new 9/11. So I'm going to come back and cover just what hit me like a ton of bricks on air. And see, that's when I tend to have those electric thoughts and understanding and anger, is when I'm reading something for the first time or seeing it for the first time. And then those connections are made. And that happened on air last night. That's why I started just literally going wild on air. We'll cover it when we get back.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
A little over a year ago, I began to do a lot of research into why, even if I had a pretty good-sized meal, that I was still starving. And my research led me to a well-known fact that most of the soils that we grow our crops on here in the United States and across the industrialized world are almost completely depleted of almost all of the key minerals and trace elements that our bodies need to rebuild themselves, fight off cancer, and be healthy. I then searched out the best vitamin and mineral company out there and discovered Youngevity. The Youngevity products are designed to give you the real nutrition you need, and once you've got that, you don't have to eat as much to be satisfied. I've lost 37 pounds in 2 months, simply getting the vitamins and minerals I need. Check it out for yourself. It's incredible. Go to InfoWarsTeam.com today and order your first canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Complete Multivitamin Mineral Complex Dietary Supplement. That's InfoWarsTeam.com.
This is Alex Jones with 5 good reasons you should consider buying a solar power generator. Number 1, new climate legislation could easily double or triple your electric bill. Number 2, our new energy czar wants to control how much power your electric company allows you to have. It's true. Total government control of electricity in the name of smart grid technology is coming. Number 3, in some areas of the country, the power grid is dangerously overloaded. And now, new socialist legislation is only compounding the problem. Number 4, dangerous weather is always a threat to local grids. Every year, thousands of families lose their power from weather-related outages. Number 5, a solar power generator provides powerful backup insurance and peace of mind. Folks, I really believe in the solar power generators offered by Solutions from Science, one of my oldest sponsors. You can get more information at www.mysolarbackup.com. That's mysolarbackup.com. Remember, the government doesn't own the sun, so go to mysolarbackup.com or call 1-877-327-0365.
Hi, folks. This is Alex Jones. I'm looking for people that have the wisdom to spot savings, opportunity, and recognize risk. Saving means to make money. The Cowbin Pure Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated and twice as good as what you're using now.
soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils that contain no useless dyes, perfumes, deodorants, or antibacterials. Your risk is the hundreds of hazardous toxic detergents that give you rashes, itching sores, and deteriorating clothing called lint. If you want something better, if you want something you've never had before, you have to do something you've never done before. Getting a free catalog is easy by calling 800-340-7091 or see Calvin on the web at 5starsoap.com. Take charge of your health now by calling 800-340-7091 or see Calvin on the web at 5starsoap.com.
So much for joining us. I'll get into the Monsanto news here in just a moment. I want to spend a few minutes with some plugs. I'm going to be speaking in Dallas this Sunday at the Lakewood Theater. They've sold about 60% of the tickets. I'm going to have Jim Mars speak for 30 minutes, introduce me, then I'm going to speak for about an hour and a half and take some questions. So that's about 2.5 hours right there. And then I'm going to premiere about a 35-minute documentary. And I've decided that this evening on the nightly news, I'm going to premiere the first 6 minutes of the documentary. And I haven't even decided the name of this documentary yet. Aaron, as usual, we always end up adding more. And so he's been up here sleepless trying to edit all this together. I just love surprises. I can never wait till Christmas. I'd always try to sneak and secretly, forensically open the packages to look at them when I was a little kid. So I'm going to premiere tonight on the nightly news, the first 6 minutes or so. and I'm just going to say it's comical and it's the funniest thing we've probably ever done. And I just thought of it the other day because we already pretty much made the film. And the film's about the greatest threats that actually face humanity. Not all the fake threats that the social engineers dangle in front of us, all of that. So we're going to be premiering that on the nightly news, and then it'll be posted for everybody at prisonplanet.tv, and then Infowars.com will have it tomorrow for everybody, even if you're not a subscriber. And then when the documentary's done, after I've premiered the whole thing in Dallas this weekend, and then next Sunday in Orlando, we'll post the whole thing on prisonplanet.tv. For members first that Monday, and then by the Tuesday, it'll be on the YouTube channel. While we've still got that, they're trying to shut our YouTube channel down again right now behind the scenes with letters and stuff. I've been hit with 4 letters in the last week with people trying to shut down our operation and all sorts of other chicanery going on behind the scenes, and I take it as a real mark that we are doing really, really good. As the attacks intensify, as the craziness intensifies, we are certainly starting to have an effect. Now, what happened is, this is one reason I can't focus on the show, and it's nobody's fault. What happened is I tried to make it out of the studio to get down the hall to my broadcast studio, and then I looked up and 3 minutes had gone by because 3-4 people talked to me, and then my wife called, and I went, wait a minute, I'm supposed to have the Monsanto article. And then I said, it's the Monsanto article, Washington Post, on my desk in the broadcast studio. And that was 4 minutes ago. So obviously, I'm going to have to go to some tape here to be able to cover this for you and then go out and get it. We have it because I was needing it on air. I mean, that's why I was saying I'm waiting to cover it. Great, because we're going to be able to have that up in just a minute. Listen, here's the deal, folks. This is teleprompter free. This is the real deal. This is not entertainment. And this is not about the celebrity of Alex Jones. I hate the celebrity of Alex Jones. I want to hide under a rock. I want to be left alone. I don't like being recognized. I don't like having to run this operation. I don't like all of it. But it is something I have to do to defeat the globalist. And I know you don't want to be public. You don't want to have to talk to your neighbors. You don't want to have to go to city council. But you've got to do it. You've got to get aggressive in the fight for liberty. But I look at all of these people that are so worldly, that are so into how they look and how people perceive them and being trendy. And then the system can just put out what they say is fashionable, what they say is the kosher, cause celeb of the day. And to see people not even being conscious, but being programmed by the television and the culture and all the rest of it. I mean, here's another example. I can't even keep this office clean to keep the fruit flies out of here. And I got them landing on my face right now. I'm going to go deal with the fruit flies right now. Run some music. I'm not dealing with it anymore, man. Having played videos or
thousands of popular diet and sugar-free foods and beverages contain an artificial sweetener that researchers say may cause cancer. The ingredient is aspartame, and it is by far the most dangerous substance on the market that is added to our foods. Aspartame is an artificial sweetener found in thousands of products worldwide, and chances are you are consuming it. It's added to sugar-free gum, juice beverages, tabletop sweeteners like Equal and NutraSweet. It's in cereals, soft drinks, yogurt, breath mints, multivitamins, wine coolers, and even over-the-counter medicines. The toxic long-term effects of aspartame are often dismissed as a hoax by the sweetener industry. However, numerous independent controlled studies using human subjects have concluded that aspartame is deadly. Now, there's a number of studies that claim that aspartame is completely safe to consume, but the vast majority of those studies were conducted by, well, you guessed it, the aspartame industry. In fact, groups like Monsanto, J.D. Searle, and ILSI concluded that aspartame posed no health risk. But that's about as credible as Marlboro, Camel, and Winston dismissing the link between cigarette smoking and cancer. Have you heard of aspartame?
Yes, I've heard of it before.
Have you heard good things or bad things?
I hear mostly bad things about
it. What kind of bad things?
Just like it's an artificial sweetener and it's bad for your health and you should try to stay away.
I've heard it's an artificial sweetener and I'm guilty of drinking beverages sweetened with it. However, it degenerates and it does harmful things.
What do you think about aspartame?
I don't like it. It gives me headaches.
They did studies on rats. It supposedly causes cancer.
Even Fox News recently reported in 2005 that artificial sweeteners had been linked to a wide range of cancers after studying involving rats. So these rats actually had tumors the size of golf balls. So does that concern you when you hear stuff like that?
greatly, yes. And the FDA is supposed to be protecting us from things like cancer, not giving it to us and telling us it's safe.
You cannot go to the grocery store now and buy any type of even regular sugar gum that hasn't had aspartame added to it. In the 1970s, Searle tried to get it approved, and they couldn't. It took them three separate times. Because in their own studies with monkeys, large portions of them that were fed it died and contracted cancer. Now we have mainstream news articles, and the EU has done a major study finding lower birth weights, early birth, and yes, miscarriages from women that drink aspartame-laden soft drinks like Coke Zero.
Do you think that aspartame should be on the market today?
No.
Why not?
Because it hasn't been demonstrated to be safe.
The FDA looked at the research and in 1975 put aspartame's approval on hold. It set up an independent panel of doctors to study aspartame. In 1980, that public board of inquiry unanimously ruled aspartame should not go on the market. Edith was drinking a cup of low-calorie hot chocolate that night. Aspartame made it sweet. And Johnson says aspartame made her sick.
All of a sudden, I couldn't see. My eyes went out of focus, and it was like my vision became quite blurred.
And you think it's because of aspartame?
I think it's very deliberately because of aspartame, yes.
It was terrifying.
Kate Randall thought she was going crazy.
I started popping in my hands and twitching in my feet, my legs, my knees, my upper legs, and shoulders and arms and everywhere.
Many of these individuals who have been aspartame reactors have tested themselves 5, 10, 20 times. Every time getting the same response, and then they realized that this was a legitimate cause and effect relationship.
What is aspartame? It is the fecal matter. All right. If you want to watch that full report, it's all over the web for free. Just type in the FDA is killing you, Alex Jones, or Alex Jones report on aspartame. You'll probably get one of 100 plus reports we've done, but that's the report. It's all posted in high quality at prisonplanet.tv, along with thousands of other reports we've done documenting all this. Okay. Again, this radio show more and more is controlled rage. I may just have to go back to eating like a pig and not running 8 miles a day because just the New World Order, all the stuff that's going on, the urgency, the frustration, the irons I've got in the fire, I am on the verge of just absolutely getting angry every 5 seconds now. Because I know they're getting ready to stage terror attacks and start big giant wars. And then I'll have to watch the terrorist social engineers that think they're smarter than everybody prance around as our saviors on television. And I just can't handle it, man. These murdering, gun-running, narcotics trafficking criminals who've been caught red-handed 1,000 different times, up one side and down the other, destroying our society. And our country is good, our world is good, but good people are allowing evil to take over because we sit here on our hind ends. And I'm not doing it anymore. Now, I got all this news. I got the big terror threat alert news. I got guests coming up. But here's the report last night that got me to kind of go off into a dark satire rant that people seem to really like. I was noticing on the comments on the websites. They're like, my gosh, this is comic genius. What it is somebody in a comedic rage. I don't know how to just because the reality of this is so ridiculously over the top that I either get super angry or super smart mouth or depressed. And sometimes just totally turbo-focused. But then I can hardly ever get focused because there's just so much going on. And that's what the globalists want to do. They want to just rush us with all this stuff until we just give in to it. I mean, I read this last night, and it just blew me away. It's the Washington Post. Makers of genetically modified seeds say more farmers evading EPA rules. And I'd seen the article but hadn't read it, and I said, Marcos is like, this is really wild. Can I put this in the news tonight? And I said, yeah, put it on the list. We'll cover it. But rarely have I not read an article when I come to it in the news. Usually media people haven't even read the article. They just read off a teleprompter. So I kind of had a teleprompter response to this because I'd never read it. I'd just seen the headline. I was aware of everything in the article separately, but I hadn't read this. So I'm on air, and I start reading the article, and And I'm having that first look effect I talk about, because I tend to read news a couple times before I'm on air, and then I get angry. And then I get on air, I've already read it, and it's kind of like I don't want to look at that monstrosity again, and I tend to not cover the news because it's old to me. See what I'm saying? But this I read for the first time, and it just flipped me out because it's so hidden in plain view. Like, this headline should be, Monsanto wants you to eat the corn, not the bees, or something like that. Makers of genetically modified seeds say more farmers evading EPA rules. Monsanto Co. and other seed makers reported a threefold increase last year in U.S. farmers caught violating rules intended to stop insects from developing resistance to genetically modified corn. Caught violating rules intended to stop insects from developing resistance. So you're like, what are those rules? The rules affect farmers planting seeds modified to produce a toxin derived from Bacillus thuringiensis, which is like a bacteria. I was saying a fungus. There's another fungus variant they've got as well. Or BT, a natural insecticide. Kind of like nightshade's natural. The Environmental Protection Agency requires those growers to also plant an adjacent area, a so-called refuge, of non-BT corn so that bugs feed on both types of corn and don't become immune to the toxin. Actually, it's so that all the bugs don't die, so all the bees eating the pollen don't die. That's actually, we've had the experts on, read their documents, gone over it. So there's some deception there. But here it is in plain view. Oh, you got to have a refuge for the bees to eat something that doesn't make them sick or kill them. Don't eat that pollen, don't eat that corn, or don't eat those other crops. That'll kill the bee. Because it does, it kills the bugs. And they argue with this bacteria, and also some other companies have some fungus variant producing ones that, well, you know, this fungus or the toxin put off by the bacteria or the fungus with the different types, you know, it's already in there. Yeah, at 500, 1,000, some cases 2,000 plus times stronger. And you've got all these gut disorders and all this Crohn's popping up and irritable bowel. I mean, it's just everywhere. All these health problems exploding. Studies linking it to this, not in humans, because they never allow that. And Monsanto and others fight so there won't be human trials. What you've got here in this whole situation is the thousands of studies with guinea pigs, rats, mice. Just type it into a search engine. BT corn cause total sterility in three generations of rats or guinea pigs, or BT corn linked to organ failure. I mean, just read it. Oh, really? You feed it to a rat and you test stuff on rats because that's similar metabolism to a human. They test them on pigs as well, and it's killing them. But let's let the humans eat it and say it's fine. And then Aaron ran in here during the break. That's what distracted me. I'm not mad that he did. He's like, we found it. We found it. That's, you were right. You know, Bill Gates' dad had a Planned Parenthood. Here he is in a eugenics group. And here he is funding the first, you know, GMO trials that were then bought by Monsanto. And it's a program to reduce fertility. Here's these other documents. And he's like, more proof of it. And I understand it's like we're in a cop shop going, more proof of their criminal action. And I'm just like being hit from every angle. And I mean, it's just like, how do you stop them? How do you even deal with it? And Bill Gates is prancing around, you know, up there saying he wants to reduce population. He's got some corn he wants you to eat. And he's the biggest owner now in Monsanto. I mean, I've just reached total Twilight Zone level here. And the general public's like, you're bad because you don't like organ failure.
A little over a year ago, I began to do a lot of research into why, even though I had a pretty good-sized meal, that I was still starving. And my research led me to a well-known fact that most of the soils that we grow our crops on here in the United States and across the industrialized world are almost completely depleted of almost all of the key minerals and trace elements that our bodies need to rebuild themselves, fight off cancer, and be healthy. I then searched out the best vitamin and mineral company out there and discovered Youngevity. The Youngevity products are designed to give you the real nutrition you need, and once you've got that, you don't have to eat as much to be satisfied. I've lost 37 pounds in 2 months. Simply getting the vitamins and minerals I need. Check it out for yourself. It's incredible. Go to InfoWarsTeam.com today and order your first canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Complete Multivitamin Mineral Complex Dietary Supplement. That's InfoWarsTeam.com. Folks, have you lost your power and wanted to simply flip a switch to get the lights back on? If so, this is going to be the most important message you'll ever hear, because there's never been a better time to get ready for the winter power outages ahead. Here's why. Solar powered generators are now available from our friends at Solutions from Science, one of our oldest sponsors. Their emergency backup systems provide life-saving electrical power when you need it most. Unlike gas generators, a solar generator runs quietly, emits no fumes, and produces electricity from the sun. It's like having an electric power plant running quietly in your own home. Whether it's ice storms, brownouts, or blackouts, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. When the power goes out this winter, you'll be ready with a solar-powered generator from Solutions from Science. Go to MySolarBackup.com for more information. That's MySolarBackup.com or call 877-327-0365.
We all know that Berkey water purification systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water filtration systems. The Berkey light systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey light system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey light, the Berkey guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
That's right, the Republic. Jack the food, the water, everything. Our DNA has been irrevocably damaged. Sperm counts are down by 87%. Western world is not replacing itself. It's at 1.3 replacement for every two adults. The countdown to extinction of humanity. The end of who we are. As the system tries to forcibly merge us with their whole biotech system. The globalists are hunting us. The globalists see us as animals. The globalists could care less about life forms on this planet, releasing their GMO everywhere, crossing animals, plants, fish, just dumping toxic waste right in the water supply. More than half the fish in North America are now either sterile, semi-sterile, or have both sexual organs. The frogs, everything. Just from the runoff of what we're being fed. We're a tough species, but every generation is 20 years, average of 75 years of life. But we replicate on average about every 20 years. Within three generations in every rodent study, near total sterilization, 99%+. Deformities, postnatal deformities, which were thought to be impossible, like out of movies where you grow another arm. That's supposed to happen at the zygote level. Those decisions are made if you're going to be a mutation. Well, scientists were wrong again. Some of these guinea pigs have no hair on the outside of their body. The hair grows out of their intestines, out of their mouths. They have teeth inside their guts, little legs inside their stomachs, two hearts. They grow another brain. Just start growing a brain out the side of your ear. Oh, man, Bill Gates loves us so good. And his daddy, the head of Planned Parenthood, setting up back in the 60s with the Rockefeller Foundation, the special GMO crops. And now Billy Gates is running Monsanto. Oh, heaven help us. And they sit there with a straight face going, you're supposed to plant corn for the insects so they don't all die. All your farmers are doing is planting our corn you bought from us, and it's causing too many of the insects to die and too many of them to get an immunity to the poison. And It's just hidden in plain view. Those dirty farmers planting Monsanto or aren't planting the refuge for the insects and wildlife. The refuge. Every corn species infected with Monsanto varieties now. So there's nowhere to run. And what are the Rockefellers and Bill Gates doing? Building giant armored seed vaults all over the world in remote mountains and the North Pole. Look it up. Giant underground bunkers. They've now got animal arks with all the human DNA, animal DNA, blue whale DNA. They're now building emergency arks while they deploy the overwrite of the world. They've got backup armories, weapon systems, giant systems stored with food, bunkers everywhere, and then they've got TV shows all over the news demonizing those that prepare, demonizing those that have guns and food. And then now one of the guys on the Hoarder show, they wanted to do surgery on him, and he said, no, I don't want that. So he goes home. And they say, well, that's suicidal to refuse the tubes. The guy's fine now. So they come and take his guns. Because, well, you didn't do the medical procedure I said. That means you're suicidal. And the guy's like, no, I'm not suicidal. They go, well, you didn't do our procedure. That means you don't care about yourself. Like, they're now saying, if they say take chemo and you don't, that's trying to commit suicide, even though the chemo is going to kill you in most cases. And so you get your guns taken because you elect to try to cure yourself. Oh, yeah, this is the new control freak system.
This is GCN, the Genesis Communications Radio Network.
I've been telling you about eFoods Direct for a while now. Here are my top 10 reasons to stock up on food from eFoods Direct. Number 10, the food I get from eFoods Direct tastes great. Number 9, the eFoods meals are easy to prepare. 8, eFoods Direct delivers the food right to my front door. 7, most of these meals cost less than $2. 6, with their large variety, I can eat it every day. 5, I always have access to high quality and delicious food. Number 4, eFoods products don't spoil, so I never waste any food. 3, eFoods uses only safe, healthy ingredients. Number 2, I have my own food supply and don't depend on the grocery store. And the number one reason I promote eFoods Direct is they build special offers just for my listeners. Folks, don't wait. Get prepared now. We all need to be self-sufficient. Call eFoods Direct at 800-409-5633 and ask for the Alex Jones special. Call eFoods Direct at 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex.
Waging war on corruption. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, I haven't even gotten into the fact that they're hyping that Iran's going to launch terror attacks. Show the criminals that have hijacked our government for the foreign banks. They'll have to stick their hands down our pants more, set up more checkpoints, raise taxes, have more drones in the skies. I mean, they've got all the motive and the history of staging the terror attacks, running Al-Qaeda publicly. And people are like, well, Alex, you're right. Our government does run Al-Qaeda all over the world. But, you know, this is a few years later now. And don't say Al-Qaeda was working for him on 9/11. Even though there's evidence, you're still not supposed to talk like that. Yeah, I'm supposed to have chump written across my forehead. I mean, I'm not a willful chump. I always thought of myself as just mediocre and average. Maybe there is something wrong with me that I'm aggressive and don't like being a slave and don't like people openly saying they're going to modify food to covertly reduce my health, lower my fertility, and give me cancer, and watch them prance around laughing about it. And I try to tell bureaucrats and people when I run into them, they don't care. They feel like they're part of the structure and they just laugh at me. They're being killed by it too, but it's still funny. I mean, look at this Washington Post article. You'd think they were talking about how the farmers are bad here. And then, oh, yeah, you know, they need to have a refuge so the bugs don't die eating this stuff. And then it goes on to admit the seed companies are surveilling their farmers. See, now farming is about being surveilled like you're a criminal. Seed companies use sales data to identify farmers who may not have purchased enough seed for a refuge. Oh, yeah, we have to go here, buying our GMO seed that kills the bugs, but humans are going to eat it. Now, you got to have that other seed for the buggies. And we're surveilling you, and you didn't have a refuge of the stuff that doesn't kill the bugs. Can I have the stuff the bugs are getting? Oh, I'm an extremist. And I said Washington Post. This is in the Washington Post. It's actually from Bloomberg. So many of these news agencies now, it's all mixed together. Seed companies use sales data to identify farmers who may not have purchased enough seed for refuge, said Nick Storer, global science policy leader for Dow Chemical Co., another maker of modified seeds. The whole purpose of doing that was to try to increase the frequency with which we identify non-compliant growers, Storer said in an interview. Farmers who violate the requirements are now revisited at least twice over 5 years. Oh, you get EPA visits because the government pushes and stuff that's like a bioweapon on you, not food. And because it's so deadly to the environment, you've got to have emergency refuge for the other buggies. See, because this is for you, not for them. This is for you, not for them. Farmers who violate the requirements are now revisited at least twice over 5 years. Joan Cardin of Monsanto said in an interview, farmers who fail to follow up inspection loss access to technology, she said. Oh, we lose access to your technology that infects all the other species around it. Oh, yes, we now know that animals are breathing the GMO pollen and it's going into the DNA. The major study's out on that. It's jumping into other plant species, and it's jumping into the same family to an even greater extent. Maize, soybean, corn, sugar beet, whatever the case is. And I just watched the cancer rates and all the other diseases accelerate as they put poison in our water and food. And it's just trendy. It's just so trendy to die like this. It's trending when people today are, you know, folks who are listening to the show laughing today, I guarantee you, who are 45, 50 years old, driving in their car. And in 6 months, they'll go into the doctor and they'll say you got a golf ball-sized tumor on your liver. And they'll go get it chopped out and they'll be dead. And, you know, they'll be dead a few months later. And they'll even, as they die, they'll be sitting there in their bed going, trendy, trendy, it's fun to die. I love the government, more fluoride, more GMO. You know, just trusting them and just loving it. They love death. They love failure. They love being scum. They love being killed by the globalists. And so the globalists are like, we will kill you. We want to. Believe me. Hi, folks. This is Alex Jones. I'm looking for people that have the wisdom to spot savings, opportunity, and recognize risk. Saving means to make money. The Calbin Pure Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated and twice as good as what you're using now. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils that contain no useless dyes, perfumes, deodorants, or antibacterials. Your risk is the hundreds of hazardous toxic detergents that give you rashes, itching sores, and deteriorating clothing called lint. If you want something better, if you want something you've never had before, you have to do something you've never done before. Getting a free catalog is easy by calling 800-340-7091 or see Calbin on the web at 5starsoap.com. Take charge of your health now by calling 800-340-7091 or see Calbin on the web at 5starsoap.com. A little over a year ago, I began to do a lot of research into why, even if I had a pretty good-sized meal, that I was still starving. And my research led me to a well-known fact that most of the soils that we grow our crops on here in the United States and across the industrialized world are almost completely depleted of almost all of the key minerals and trace elements that our bodies need to rebuild themselves, fight off cancer, and be healthy. I then searched out the best vitamin and mineral company out there and discovered Youngevity. The Youngevity products are designed to give you the real nutrition you need, and once you've got that, you don't have to eat as much to be satisfied. I've lost 37 pounds in 2 months.
simply getting the vitamins and minerals I need. Check it out for yourself. It's incredible. Go to InfoWarsTeam.com today and order your first canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Complete Multivitamin Mineral Complex Dietary Supplement. That's InfoWarsTeam.com.
Hi, this is Alex Jones. Did you know that the global elite are now storing non-hybrid seeds in secret storage vaults near the Arctic Circle? Did you know that in a real meltdown, non-hybrid seeds could become more valuable than silver or gold? It's true, seeds have outperformed even gold and silver before in this country, and it's possible that could even happen again. So our friends at Solutions from Science have put together the perfect mix of non-hybrid seeds. They call it a survival seed bank, and it can produce an endless supply of nutrient-dense food for you and your family. And here's the best part. These seeds have not been genetically modified in any way, and you actually get enough seeds to plant a full-acre crisis garden. So visit them today at SurvivalSeedBank.com. That's SurvivalSeedBank.com, or give them a call at 877-327-0365. That's 877-327-0365. Remember, in a real crisis, non-hybrid seeds are the ultimate barter item. This is Alex Jones for SurvivalSeedBank.com.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Okay, for the rest of the hour, we are going to be joined by James Wesley Rawls. We're carrying his new novel, which is a sequel to the best-selling book, Patriots, that's like set with real patriots, like Mark Kornke and others in it, but in a future globalist economic collapse scenario with UN troops rolling around. Whenever that book came out, I don't know, over a decade ago, I remember people going, that's ridiculous. Now, officially, the government and the media and everybody are pushing all these different plans and programs to have foreign troops here. They've said during emergencies, during economic collapse, we'll have Mexican and Canadian troops dealing with the American terrorist. That's Associated Press. It was a headline a few years ago. Top generals questioned by Congress over foreign troop plan. U.S. troops for the Olympics were up in Canada patrolling the streets. They had Mexican troops in the U.S. during Katrina, CBS News. All of this is part of an acclimation process. And I've been to urban warfare drills in 98, 99, 2000, and more since then, where they have foreign troops training to take on Americans. Last year, I sent Rob Due to Chicago, and we have footage of them training for gun confiscation checkpoints with Czech Republic, Polish, Ukrainian troops, and then with American role players, and then practicing putting people in the sports stadium. Now, he has another book that's been a bestseller on the New York Times top 10. It's been as high as number 3, How to Survive the End of the World as We Know It. In fact, we should probably carry that book, too. I haven't read that one. I've read Survivors. But the issue is, how did James Wesley Rawls, I think I know the answer, he's into liberty, into freedom. Never talked to him before, but I'm guessing he's a patriot. I mean, if he writes a book about collapse because of economics and foreign troops and everything, and it's got old line patriot talk show host, mentioned in the book. It shows he's got a great understanding of things. But again, the book Survivor is available everywhere, but also available at InfoWars.com if you want to support us as well. Weldon Henson read it. The publisher sent us a copy and said, this is a really good book. You ought to read it. And I read it, and I think it's even better than Patriots. But we've got him on with us to really get some into the novel, but also into what he means by the end of the world as we know it. Now, the IMF and World Bank say this is a controlled, designed implosion to bring in the world government. And as you know, Ban Ki-moon called for global government last week. The White House Economic Council head called for a global tax. We played yesterday on C-SPAN. It's all out in the open, but the ADL, Southern Poverty Law Center, reports say if you're talking about this, you're a lying, crazy terrorist, basically. And if you like Ron Paul, you're bad as well. And if you like Alex Jones, you're bad as well. So James Wesley Rawls joins us to talk about this. We have the demonization with shows like, Preppers. One of the prepper guys refused a procedure by a doctor. That's an article in InfoWars.com. Had all his guns taken. They said by not taking the procedure, it means you don't care about your life. Prima facie evidence that you're suicidal. And the guy's like, no, I just don't want tubes stuck in my chest. And so he's home healthy. And they just say, no guns ever again. No judge, no jury. And you got to know, most your doctors are spying on you now. That's on record. Most of the preachers are. We're living in the transition from a free republic into the Soviet globalist model. And I say Soviet because that's what they call it. It's not even communist. It's a corporate fascist system through Soviet boards. Soviet just means boards or committees. Agenda 21, that's what the UN model is. The EU's based on the Soviet model. The bankers gave the commies, and our government funded the commies in 1917 on record. Now, here's the article. Prepper declared mentally defective, put on FBI list. There's that report. David Sardi barred from purchasing guns after a doctor reported him to authorities. Now we go now to James Wesley Rawls. James, I'm kind of ranting here as I introduce you, but what woke you up? What makes you tick? Who is the man, bestselling author, James Wesley Rawls? And you know, how did you write a book? I haven't even checked the date. Was it a decade ago or so? Patriots, that literally reads now like a history book because so much of it has happened.
Well, Alex, I'm a former Army intelligence officer, and I actually wrote the first draft of Patriots back in the winter of 1990-1991. And it's a classic socioeconomic collapse novel about hyperinflation, followed by a total collapse of society where the power grid goes down and there's massive depopulation of the major cities and lawlessness all over the country. I wrote that because I see it's actually a possibility. We live in a very fragile society with very long chains of supply, great dependence on technology, tremendous dependence upon the power grid. And if the grid were to go down for any number of different reasons, all bets are off.
Wow. So again, it's been so many years since I read that first book, and I'm one of these talk show hosts that just gets somebody on and does my research live. But I'd forgotten, you know, you were Army intelligence. So even back in 91, you recognized this New World Order threat and you wrote about it. How did you discover this? I mean, did you discover this when you were in Army intelligence, or what woke you up?
Yes. What woke me up, to begin with, my upbringing was preparedness-minded from the very beginning, because I came from a pioneer family that had come out west by covered wagon in the 1850s. So I still had that spirit alive in me. I also grew up in Livermore, California, the son of a physicist that worked at Lawrence Laboratories. And Livermore has one of the highest per capita number of bomb shelters in the country. There's a very high recognition of the nuclear threat there, because they design nuclear weapons in Livermore. So between the two of those, I was already pretty well primed for the preparedness mindset. And then going into Army intelligence, I was involved with, among other things, some country studies looking at the fragility of some nations. And I came to realize that our own nation was even more fragile, because we have a higher level of technological dependence. We have tremendously long chains of supply. And in recent years, we've adopted the Japanese Kanban school of inventory control, what they call just-in-time inventory or lean inventory control, where there's very little in the pipeline at any given time. And what you see on your supermarket shelves is basically all they have. There is no longer a back room with extra stock. What you see is what you get. And if the inventory control system breaks down for any number of different reasons, whether it's a transportation problem or a communications problem or just an internet problem, you're out of luck.
So we're 3 days from no food on the shelves, and the studies I've seen from the Army, which I guess you were probably involved in, you can elaborate, 10 days from anarchy, 15 days from cannibalism.
About that, yeah. In fact, there's a bit of cannibalism described in my first novel. And when you come right down to it, human nature is pretty ugly. If you remove the trappings of modern society and law and order, there's just a thin veneer of civilization. And when you peel that back, what's underneath is kind of ugly. It doesn't take long at all before people revert to savagery. And that's one of the central themes of all of my writings. So that's why I encourage people to move to lightly populated areas and to team up with like-minded folks and to stock up in depth.
Well, you know, the media, the controlled corporate media, and the globalist media, the occupied America media, they always demonize being prepared. But as you were pointing out, government itself and people that work in intelligence are obsessed with it now more than ever. And all the big money I know is leaving the United States, racing to mountainous areas, racing to islands. And even the news is reporting that. But we're still bad for being concerned.
Right. In fact, our government is essentially schizophrenic on the issue of preparedness. Because on the one hand, you've got the Department of Homeland Security labeling people who prepare as potential terrorists. At the same time, you've got FEMA encouraging everyone to stock up. So who do you listen to?
Oh, man. Now, I mean, you talk about the New World Order in your book that you're now saying you wrote 20 years ago. I guess I read it when it was republished, you know, 11 years ago or so. Now world government is out in the open. I mean, you just type world government into a search engine. It's being announced by them every day, by the very mega banks. How did you wake up to the whole global government system? What's your political views on that?
Well, I've always been a conservative. I was a John Bircher in the 1970s, late 70s is when I got involved with the John Birch Society and woke up to the whole globalist threat. And I still, although I don't have a really strongly conspiratorial view like some others, I do believe that we do have the threat of global governance. And the natural reaction of governments when there is a power vacuum or disruption is to clamp the lid down and institute total government. That's the very nature of government. And if there are risks out there that would cause major disruption, people have to be prepared not just for defending their own family home and providing for themselves, but also the prospect of waking up some morning and finding yourself under martial law. And the other thing that I stress in my writings is it's only the people that are well prepared that are going to be in a position to do anything about it. Everybody else is going to be worried about where they're going to find their next meal. So by stocking up, you can be part of the solution.
Well, James, people ask me, Alex, do you really believe all this you're talking about? I've moved to the country. I got an 8-foot stone wall. And around the back of the farm property, I got a big game fence with barbed wire on it. And I've got food and I got guns, and if stuff does start unraveling and unfolding, anybody trying to take what I got is dead. And people are like, ooh, that's radical. No, that's just normal human nature. You talk about frontiers, that's, you know, where I come from. Most Americans, I feel sorry, you know, I have that in their roots. But most Americans now, 90%, as you know, live in cities and are not self-sufficient. Of the 10% that are rural, I've seen numbers of only half being sufficient.
That's right.
And this is totally creepy because I've seen university numbers of 7 million dying of illnesses or malnutrition associated with the depression, 7 million in a decade, and that 90% were rural then, or about 87%, and about half of those were self-sufficient. So we're looking at 45% that were self-sufficient then, 7 million dead. Imagine what's going to happen this time.
And that's with the power grid staying up. If the power grid goes down, all bets are off. If you look back at the Depression of the 1930s, you had a lot more people that were more closely connected to the land. Now we've got 2% of the population feeding the other 98%, literally. So if we were to see a grid-down societal collapse, most people don't have country cousins that they can depend on anymore. And the chains of supply are so long that we could see a massive depopulation. And if this were to happen, say, in the fall of the year with power grid going down, if the grid didn't come back up quickly, by the next spring, we could see half of the population of the United States dead.
I want to go over those numbers with you. Best-selling author of fiction and nonfiction books, James Wesley Rawls is our guest. Survivors, a novel of the coming collapse, is available at Infowars.com. And then this book that we've got to carry, James Wesley Rawls, How to Survive Into the World as We Know It, available everywhere. Tactics, techniques and technologies for uncertain times. But I think more than just having food and guns and water, you need to be around, like you said, neighbors that are ready as well for mutual defense. Because,
absolutely.
I mean, we're talking about, I'm sure you've seen the Rockefeller Foundation award-winning movie based on the novel The Road, which from my study is very accurate with how humans would act within 15 days.
Yeah, it's kind of a bleak outlook, but yes, that is human nature at its core when you come right down to it. And that's why it is important that people team up. You need to form a neighborhood watch on steroids. You need to team up with your neighbors, like-minded friends, fellow congregants of your church, and plan. Figure out what skills exist within your group, cross-train each other, and for any skills that are missing, people need to go out and get that training and then come back and cross-train everyone else. They need to go to places like Gun Sight and Front Sight for firearms courses and come back and cross-train everyone else. You need to have at least one member of your very local community, I'm talking a cluster of houses, that is trained as an EMT or paramedic. And that's as simple as enough as joining a local volunteer fire department, and they'll give you the training free.
Yeah, even swim teams give you that. I mean, you can go to the fire department, you don't have to join usually, and they'll give free clinics on it.
Sure, yeah, they do CPR classes and everything else. It's important that people get the training to go with all this gear. I try to stress in my blog, I do a blog every day called survivalblog.com. I try to stress in my writings every day that you need more than just the gear. You need the training that goes with it. Because owning a gun doesn't make you a shooter any more than owning a surfboard makes you a surfer. There's a lot of skill that you need to acquire. And those are perishable skills.
Well, that's a good point about perishable. When I was 12 years old, literally could shoot to the same hole at 200 yards with a rifle. Now I'm lucky at 200 yards to be able to hit bullseye just because I don't have time to be shooting. I only shoot 3-4 times a year now. And you're right. We all need to constantly stay ready and also be mentally prepared. You know, think through scenarios and have defaults of what you're going to do in certain scenarios so you're not thinking, what am I going to do as guys come climbing over your fence? You're going to have to open up on them.
If you're thinking through those problems as they happen, you're behind the power curve. You really need to plan ahead and train, prepare, lay in the logistics. And in terms of things like retreat security, you need to buy things like night vision gear and buy a Dakota Alert, which is an infrared intrusion detection system. You need to do that now, because if you wait until after a societal collapse, you think you'll be able to buy a Starlight scope on the open market? It would cost a king's ransom.
Well, there was an article yesterday I meant to get to. Guys, will you print it? I think the headline's like 40 things that Detroit's collapse tells us about our collapse. Because I want to go over some of those with our guest. Because if you look at Detroit, they had, what, a 79% increase in just the last year in justifiable homicides. I mean, this is already happening in major U.S. cities.
If you look at Detroit as kind of a bellwether for at least urban areas, that's kind of indicative of the path that our nation is on. And that's yet another reason why I recommend moving to lightly populated farming areas. You want to be away from the metropolitan areas because that's where 99% of the problems are going to exist. There won't be rioting in small towns. There won't be looting in small towns to speak of, even if the grid goes down. But if you're in an urban or even a suburban area, watch out, because you're kind of at ground zero.
Well, don't the studies show, though, that because most people even in rural areas aren't sufficient, that within 3 to 4 to 6 months, there will start being criminal groups, but sometimes
there will be, but the chances of them coming to your door are statistically so much smaller out in the country. Then, you know, if you stay in the city or you stay in the suburbs, you're just another notch on the food chain. At least in the countryside, you'll have some delay. You'll have some time to team up with neighbors, establish good security before trouble comes your way. In the big city, the trouble will be there within 2 or 3 days. You won't have time to organize and prepare.
Yeah, this is from the Coming Collapse blog, and it's got the numbers and links to the Detroit Free Press and others. But When the economy falls apart, desperate people will do desperate things, and many homeowners will fight back. Justifiable homicide in Detroit rose a staggering 79% just last year alone. And now in some of these areas, the police are saying, get guns, protect yourself. But I've seen other areas where they're saying, don't get guns. Yeah, we're laying half the cops off. The other half are just going to do revenue generating. So you're on your own. We're not going to respond to these 35 crimes in Oakland. But don't you dare have a gun and defend yourself. What an immoral, sick position of the liberals.
Yeah, that's unfortunately, that's the whole statist mindset, which is they make everyone dependent, but then they don't have any guarantee of government services. If you look at places like Detroit, the response times, even for violent crimes, that stretch out into hours. Well, if you have to wait hours before the police arrive, all they're basically good for is filling out paperwork and toting off the body bags. You have to depend on yourself. It's essentially yo-yo time. You're on your own.
Now, obviously, if a solar flare hit us directly, that could blow out a lot of the power grid. We've gone over the transformers and the rest of it. There could be a nuclear war. They're trying to start war with Iran right now. Russia and China are threatening. But for me, it's right. Just the economic collapse that if we did have another depression, that we're already seeing a lot of stuff unravel, and we saw the government couldn't take care of Katrina. I mean, are you saying this collapse is going to happen, or the probability's gone up?
I can't say with any certainty. All I can say is that there is a risk. And if I was an actuarial accountant in the insurance business, I wouldn't want to be issuing policies for governments. How's that? Now you mentioned the power grid going down. You mentioned EMP and you mentioned solar flares. But there's one other way the power grid could go down that most people don't realize, and that is a malicious hacker attack could get into the SCADA software, which is the system control and data acquisition software that controls the power grid all the way from the power plants and the hydroelectric dams all the way to your home power meter. There's SCADA software all the way in between now, and that's at risk. So, yes, if the grid goes down, we're in big, big trouble.
Well, couldn't something like Stuxnet travel around the world and come back and do the same thing? Because, I mean, they've said they want to have the government take over the Internet to protect power grids, but doesn't that stuff have to be injected directly in, you know, to the computers at a power plant?
Well, the thing is that when all the SCADA software was originally designed in the 1960s and the 1970s, it was before the days of hacking. So they left huge vulnerabilities in the code. And now, in recent times, they've created other portals into all of these software systems, so that now someone can literally just dial in or log in by any IP address and go about their nefarious business.
Incredible. James Wesley Rawls, stay there. More with him straight ahead. Because remember, 20 years ago, he wrote about what's now happening. I want to know how he knew. Going to have James Wesley Rawls back on with us Friday for an extended interview on InfoWars Nightly News, and we're going to get more into solutions and ways from his research he thinks that you can protect yourself and prepare for this. If there's a 10% chance society is going to collapse, then we should all get prepared. And I got to say, it's 50-50 right now. And governments are saying that. The head of the IMF said that last month. I mean, they're talking about a road warrior scenario. We'll be talking to our guest more in just a moment. And then if we avert all these new wars and this depression, then it's like, oh, it didn't happen. Well, that's what we hope. We hope that that's the case. Speaking of preparedness, I've put my money where my mouth is. I've lost now almost 40 pounds. You can see it if you're watching on PrisonPlanet.tv in just about 2.5 months. I have moved to the country. I have built a fence and a wall. And I've started getting my firearms out and trying to practice with them more. I got my storable food. I got my rifle, shotgun, four-wheel drive. I got my dogs, and I live back in the woods, you see. So woman and the kids and the dogs in me. And the only thing I've done is gotten to know my neighbors because I just am super private, but I need to get to know them. But it is nice to hear firearms going off every weekend, some of them fully auto. So sounds like I've got some good neighbors. Sounds like World War III, actually, next door. But I've got a character living next door. I haven't met him, but everybody knows who he is if I said his name. Sounds like the Terminator's next door. But sounds like they've got artillery simulators going off, too. But I live out in the country now. Not far enough. You know, it takes me an extra 25, 30 minutes to get to work now, just because I do live outside town. But side issue. Health-wise, I've learned that if you take a good vitamin, mineral, powder supplement that's from organic sources that you can actually absorb, then you're not as hungry. Because you're not eating empty calories trying to get the nutrients. And the best products I've found, and when you purchase them from us, it also supports the broadcast, is InfoWarsTeam.com. And that's where the best, well, all the longevity products are there, but Beyond Tangy Tangerine, it's got the Mighty 90 minerals in it and vitamins. It's got the trace stuff that the mainstream media says you don't need. You know, that's key for all those interactions. We've got the Rebound sports drink powder. It's got the B vitamins and all the rest of it. We've got the Pollen Burst and a bunch of other great products that don't advertise as weight loss. It's just that everybody that takes them loses weight. Aaron's lost in 7 months, 65 pounds. And he's just not hungry as much because he takes the whey shakes and the stuff. So it's all available at InfoWarsTeam.com. And if we put InfoWarsTeam.com up on screen, there is a number on the site as well that you can call there on the site. Do they not have the 1-800 number on the front of the site anymore? That's just because usually it's right up there on the top of the site. Well, I'm sure you can find it somewhere on there. There's a conference call number if you're a distributor there on the site. Again, InfoWarsTeam.com. And don't forget the online video bookstore, the t-shirts, all of it, books like Survivors. It's your purchases. I mean, without you, I can't run the nightly news. I can't have the websites. I can't do any of it. Plus, these are great products, great materials, you know, info weapons, bumper stickers, citizen rule books, terrorist documents like the Constitution. It's all there, InfoWars.com, PrisonPlanet.tv memberships, 877-551-1301 is the number to call if you got any questions or want to sign up and be a distributor and get discounts, 877-551-1301 as well, InfoWarsTeam.com. Okay, without further ado, I don't know why I haven't ever gotten this guy on. It's so great to have him here with us, one of the leading survivalist expert writers out there. But I know you don't like to toot your horn, but let's go back then to Patriots, 1991, you're writing it. How did you write about global governance coming via economic collapse? Because reading, you know, The Patriot, now the sequel Survivors, or Patriots, there it is. I mean, how did you know in 1991? And then I was asking you, you believe in the global government threat, but not that it's conspiratorial. And you were making the point that, no, it's just a system. It's not that it's in total control and under every rock, and I agree with you. It's that it's from the top, the compartmentalized system. They're trying to get control. They're trying to establish global government. It's not here yet. We can still reverse it. Please get into how you knew all this, how you broke it down, and then all the other facets of how you see these threats unfolding, including the like where they try to crash the economy, you were saying during the break, and then that backfires on them. Please continue.
Well, I just see it as a logical progression. We live in a very fragile society. We have a system where our constitutional government is at risk. Anytime there's major disruption, there's always the possibility that someone may try to step in to, quote, restore order, unquote, and you end up with a government that's far, far worse, that you end up with total government. And I think people need to be vigilant, and if they're vigilant and well-prepared, they'll be in a position to hopefully speak up and do something about it. In a worst case, we could end up with a situation like I described in Patriots and in Survivors, where you ended up with a power vacuum that's created by economic collapse, and a foreign occupying army comes in to restore order, and then you end up, as I described in Patriots, in a war of resistance, a guerrilla warfare situation where you're trying to restore constitutional government. God forbid we ever get to that point, but I think people need to be prepared even for that.
All right, let me stop you there. My frustration with great guests like yourself that are telling the truth is that everything you say, there's 50 points I want to make backing you up. But people can pull this up. The Banff, Canada, 2006 North American Union SPP meeting, Judicial Watch sued, got thousands of pages of documents, or right at about 1,000 pages, actually. And in there, the first thing they say in the meeting is, this is my film Endgame, screenshots of it, A, keep this secret. We're going to have North American Union integration by stealth, but we're going to use military crises, drug crises, flu crises, economic crises to merge the governments. And now they're already doing that with cross regions with the drug war, and that's being announced. And they say, we'll use each other's foreign troops and each other's nations. And now it was always, I was at a military base and the general said, get ready for the New World Order. To now we have the videos. We have the news articles where, generals questioned by Congress about plan for I-4 troops during crises or Mexican troops to be used to fight U.S. terrorists or NLE09 FEMA press release. 14 countries working with FEMA to drill on suppressing uprisings. John Warner Defense Authorization Act saying it's to suppress the states, the governor's councils, the rural councils, right out of Red Dawn, the tattletale squads, the clergy response teams. I mean, they're setting up for a suppression of civil war. And it looks like the globalists want to have that civil war with the American people, and they're going to call us the terrorists. When they come arrest Alex Jones or John Wesley Rawls, or James Wesley Rawls, when they do things like this, well, we're just the terrorists. And I mean, they're the ones gearing up for it. Your comments on that rant?
Well, it very well could be a big setup. I think, though, that the statists and globalists may be setting up a situation that's going to get out of their control. If they attempt to orchestrate a stock market collapse, or a banking panic, or something along that line, it could very well get away from them. They could end up with a situation where the rioting and looting gets completely out of control. Government agencies are unable or unwilling to respond. You could end up with individual police officers and firemen afraid to literally leave their home, leave their families unprotected. So they won't show up for work. That was what I described in Patriots.
And that happened in New Orleans.
Yeah. And you also ended up with police officers looting, literally. I mean, they were caught on camera.
Well, let's face it. Our police are not as moral as they were, and the studies are there 50 years ago. In the old days, people were not even that they were such tough guys, but it's like, hey, this is combat. We're going in. Nowadays, the whole culture at these mass shootings everywhere is sit there for 4 hours while you're told what to do by the feds. So now there's like this culture of being paralyzed.
Mm-hmm. Well, we could see a situation where, whether it's orchestrated or not, we could have a societal collapse. We could have things come completely unraveled. Again, the linchpin is the power grid. Things could come unraveled to the point where even someone who was hoping to be the one to come in and restore order and institute their brand of government, the situation could get completely out of their control, and we could see a complete unraveling where the cities become uninhabitable. Once the power grid goes down, there's about a 2 or 3 day supply of water in most civic water systems, so gravity-fed from tanks. But there are very few cities that have end-to-end gravity-fed water. They're almost all dependent upon the power grid. So the grid goes down, the water stops flowing, the toilets stop flushing, and then suddenly you have a huge public health crisis on your hands. The cities become uninhabitable. Commerce comes to a halt. You have this mass exodus of people from the big cities, what I refer to as the Golden Horde, pouring out of the cities, and it's a situation where it's difficult to get the apple cart back on its wheels.
So much time has gone into building the infrastructure that it works really well, but it's super delicate. And expanding on that, it was like 5 years ago, a hurricane hit Texas. I forget which one. They hit all the time. And Houston flooded with about 5 feet of water. And we have a ranch in East Texas family land about 130 miles north of Houston. It's about 100 miles south of Dallas. Well, Buffalo, Texas, is outside Buffalo, Texas, and Fairfield. And I just happened to be there hunting and doing some shooting when the hurricane hit. And I thought, well, I'll just go have fun and go hunting during the hurricane. I don't care, because it was just rainstorm by the time it hit there. And I was in the small towns. They were reporting on robberies, people getting shot, and there were hordes of people. And I'm saying it's illegal aliens because that was the main group, because there's something like 5 million illegal aliens in the Houston area, just everywhere. The illegal aliens were driven out, because that's all I saw, and were robbing and stuff because they were pushed into the countryside and they were getting shot and stuff. And the news didn't report on it, but I saw blurbs. I mean, they were getting shot. And there were also some other folks running around, but it was mainly the illegals because they were driven out of the city. I mean, so that scenario, I saw that happen.
Same thing happened in New Orleans in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina. There were refugees as far as 400 or 500 miles away, and they brought this whole wake of a high crime rate with them. And that was just one localized area, essentially one big city that was badly affected. Imagine if every major city in the country simultaneously went through a major economic collapse and power grid failure. There's actually three power grids in the country, a Western grid, an Eastern grid, and a Texas grid. If the power grids go down, we could see major rioting and looting going on in virtually every urban area. And yes, there will be some pretty large ripple effects that come from that. I just pray that the majority of your listeners team up and be ready to hunker down. It means having a deep larder, being very well stocked up, very well trained, and having, you know, keeping your radar up, basically, keeping an eye on the big picture, and being ready to at least rebuild, you know, from the ground up, from your local area up, to reestablish commerce, reestablish law and order, and I mean constitutional law and order.
Well, I know that from previous events, when things get really bad, the police and others don't show up, and I cannot imagine what'll happen. If the welfare checks didn't show up for a month, it would be burning cities. And then what's going to happen after the welfare class does burn down the city? Then there'll be even less infrastructure. It is going to be hellish.
Yes, we could. If you look at what's going on in Detroit right now, for example, where they're actually turning off streetlights because the some of the suburbs of Detroit can't even afford to run streetlights. Then you end up, it's this cascade of events. You end up with a lack of police protection, no response from burglar alarm companies, for example. And then after people have, you know, cleaned out these abandoned houses, then they resort to stripping out the copper wiring. So they're literally destroying the infrastructure. So even if the power grid were to come back up, the infrastructure would be so destroyed that it would be months or years or even, you know, conceivably even generations.
Before. Humans without a job who aren't self-sufficient are like locusts.
Yeah.
It's a cloud of grasshoppers.
In essence, you're right, Alex, because that's human nature. I'm a Christian, and I look at the human heart as desperately wicked at its core. And it's only because of the restraint of things like Christian faith and the restraint that non-Christians are under because of civil government that keeps them from acting like locusts. I just dread seeing a situation where there is a vacuum of restraint, where there's no control.
Well, that's another thing.
With modern morals, or lack thereof, we could see a tremendous period of lawlessness.
Let me raise. Very ugly. I agree. Let me raise the next point with you. What about what we see in every government and what we've seen in Katrina and other cases where they don't help all the people that are in the Superdome? The military comes with the police under federal orders to go into $5 million houses and blows safe doors off the wall and take people's guns who were there with generators and food. What happens when the system comes to commandeer our food and guns? What happens when the armored vehicle with the police comes down your road to commandeer your storable food?
Well, statistically, the chances of that happening to any one of your listeners is pretty small, but it is a risk. But people need to have a contingency plan to bug out. Everybody, even if you have the very best retreat in North America and you're completely hunkered down in your bunker, you still need to have a plan B. You need to keep your bug out bag ready and be ready to get out of Dodge, because the last thing you want to be doing is getting into a gunfight with the local police or with
Yeah, no, you've got a fake cache of guns and food you give them. You act like you're mad that they got it. I mean, there are alternatives to fighting. It's smarter.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Sure, yeah. We need to be wise as serpents and meek as doves. So, yeah, it makes sense to have a rusty old 30-30 and a shotgun to turn over to them if they come looking for them. And you have the majority of your better guns cached somewhere, well hidden, so that even if they, quote, clean you out, they're not going to have even the majority of it. They'll just have a small portion.
Well, the New World Order said they want a post-industrial world. That's their plan. It is pretty much designed. We're going to come back with our guest. His book is available at Infowars.com. It's Survivors. James Wesley Rawls is our guest. Incredible information. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to keep James Wesley Rawls with us for 20 minutes into the next hour. Then a member of the European Union Parliament, kind of a Ron Paul of England, Nigel Farage, is going to be joining us. You know, I wish this stuff wasn't true. And I'm so busy on air and doing the nightly news and trying to make films and trying to travel and all this stuff that, well, I'm going to be honest. I was planning to visit radio stations all over the country this year. And I'm going to go to Dallas to visit an affiliate and speak this Sunday. Find out more at Infowars.com/events for the tickets sell out. I'm going to Orlando for a big 8-10 where we're number one to speak the 26th. And those tickets are going to be sold out probably even before the event if you want those. But it's a side issue. I'm pretty much looking at maybe not traveling any after that, because the collapse is so imminent if it's going to happen. And I was talking to James. I said, James, when do you think it could happen with the whole financial thing? And he gave me his answer. And this is a guy who predicted this with incredible accuracy 20 years ago and how it would start happening. And repeat to me, James, what you said.
Well, Alex, I think that there's a possibility that we could see a repeat of the 2008 financial crisis in the next few months, as things come unraveled with the periphery of the EU, the Greek tragedy, as they're referring to it, could get out of control. We could see a banking crisis and a credit collapse that could go global. And if that happens, we could see virtually all the Western countries go down like dominoes. We could see a banking crisis, stock market collapses, collapse of bond markets. It could get very, very ugly. There's a huge number of derivatives in play. That's a huge imponderable, because that derivatives market didn't even exist 10 years ago. Now it's measured in the scale of hundreds of trillions of dollars notionally in derivatives in play at any given time. And a counterparty risk is huge. What happens if one of those counterparties is a national government and that counterparty goes away? It's just unfathomable to know what could happen. And the risk is tremendous.
And again, the head of the IMF said something similar a month or so ago, but they're too good at what they're doing. They create the crisis on record. They sell the fraud. Then they say, give us more power. Give up your sovereignty, Europe, America, and we'll fix it. But then it only implodes faster. They make bigger bonuses, but they're destroying their own golden goose. They're hacking it open greedily. When it's giving them a golden egg every morning, they think there's eggs inside. I think the point you made of that, because they're on record creating this to consolidate power, they've bragged about it. Those memos have been made public by Goldman Sachs and others. But they're going to fry things so badly, the bankers are all running to private islands with their own security teams. I mean, like they want to rule everything so much and have just so many digits in their bank accounts that they're going to devalue the value of the digits through their sheer greed.
That is a possibility. And if you look at the Hegelian dialectic, if that crisis at the beginning spins out of control, they lose the tail end of the dialectic, don't they? There will be no synthesis at the end. They'll be lucky if they survive.
They're nuts. They're absolutely out of their minds. But I guess that's what happens with megalomania. They just feel invincible. And it's the power grabbing, they just can't stop it.
Well, when you have all the money in the world, what is there but power? And yes, I think you may be right. The lust for power may be their own undoing.
And ours as well, because when this thing falls, it's like the Parthenon coming down on your head or the ton of bricks. Back in 60 seconds, third hour straight ahead, the book Survivor, available at Infowars.com. Survivors.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
When you're out on the road, the last place you want to be is on the road. But if the unfortunate happens, you'll be glad you were wearing diamond gussets.
There's a place down in Tennessee where they make blue diamond gusset jeans. They sew pride in every stitch. Guarantee you love the way they fit. They put a diamond gusset in the crotch where you need it most. Blue diamond gussets got it, others don't.
We turn jeans inside out. Diamond gusset jeans. Made in the USA with unparalleled quality. Our Defender motorcycle jeans combine gusset comfort with Kevlar protection, so you can ride all day with confidence. Order yours at gusset.com. Diamond gusset jeans got it. Others don't.
Waging war on corruption. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, we've got James Wesley Rawls, author of Survivors, a novel of the coming collapse, with us. You can get his book at Infowars.com. In bookstores everywhere. I mean, I was in the bookstore the other day and saw it there on the end cap. But again, it's just so creepy. It's one thing to know, hey, grandpa's got cancer, that he's going to be dead. And then 6 months passes and you're there at the deathbed and and they're dying in front of you. Or, hey, your buddy's in the hospital. He's, been in a car wreck. He's probably not going to make it. You show up 5 minutes after you're there, the person dies in front of you. Or you see a car running a red light. And it seems like 5 minutes in those 3 seconds before it hits you and, your collarbone's broken. It's like that. It's the slow motion of the New World Order and the twilight zone-ness of world government being announced and coffee shop owners being said, call Homeland Security if somebody pays cash, and TSA groping women and saying they're not. James, I mean, do you not ever pinch yourself at how twilight zone-y this has gotten and then think, my gosh, we aren't even into this yet? Our hand isn't even all the way. We've kind of stuck our arm in the badger hole, and now we hear him growling, but he hasn't even bitten into our fingers yet. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I see your point, Alex. So we are kind of in a stage now, but I look at that of uncertainty. But I look at that as a period of opportunity, where people can reorder their finances, get out of dollar-denominated assets and get into precious metals, where people can still go to a local gun show and buy a fully capable gun with no paperwork if they buy it from a fellow private party in most states. The window of opportunity for preparedness still exists, and the window of opportunity to warn others with venues like yours still exists. I think people should take full advantage of these opportunities while they can. We were talking earlier about what's your chances of finding something sophisticated like a night vision scope after everything falls apart? They're just not going to be available. So people should thank God that they have those opportunities to get prepared now. Now is the time to sell that flat panel television and sell your jet ski and go out and buy yourself an M1A. Buy yourself 6 months or a year's worth of food. You have the opportunity now. Grab the bull by the horns, because a couple of years from now, you'll be thanking yourself. In fact, your children will be thanking you. And if you don't, your children will be asking, why didn't you?
Yeah, folks, go to twitter.com/realalexjones. You can see me shooting my M1. Just awesome firearm, incredibly accurate with open sights. A lot better than Mini 14 with open sights, or even a Winchester 30-30 or something like that. It is a heavy gun. We ought to talk about your favorite type of firearms. What's a good, really, light little rifle? Something like a range rifle or something, 223?
Well, I'm fairly fond of the M4 or M4gery, the civilian equivalents, but it's not a very potent caliber. For anybody who's 5'10" or taller, they should be carrying a .308 battle rifle.
.308's got more penetration
much longer range, much more power, much more sure stopper, and it's also a big game rifle, so it doubles as a hunting rifle. .223 isn't even legal to hunt deer in most states.
Yes.
I personally have
the .308 and 7 Mag and Lapua and 50 Cal and all that. I'm just thinking for average folks, because, sure. I mean, I know people...
308 rules. And the ones that I like the best right now would be the HK91 clones, because the magazines for those are dirt cheap. I do like FALs and M1As, but the magazines and spare parts are getting very, very expensive.
Yeah, I had an HK91, and then it burned up in a house. Stay there. We're going to come right back. I need to get an HK91. That was an awesome rifle. I actually had the HK91, not one of the clones. I want to hear your favorite clone of it that's a lot less expensive on the other side. Long segment coming up with our guest. Amazing info.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
All right, James Wesley Rawls, expert on preparedness. He's written the book, How to Survive the End of the World as We Know It. Not the end of the world, the end of the world as we know it. World War II killed over 100 million people, including 20 million Germans in that collapse. Democide, governments killed over 260 million people in the last century. Government is the number one cause of death, and government collapse is, the biggest for the Ukrainians and others. All right, the 12 minutes we've got left, you got the floor. You want to get into preparedness? Let's get into the best firearms training areas, and then basics for people that do live in cities. If somebody can get to the country, give us the top 10 list of what to do to get ready, Mr. Rawls.
Well, I'd say even ahead of firearms, it's important to have a good quality water filter, like either a compact Katadyn filter, or for your house, a big ceramic filter like a big Berkey. Water filtration has to be the very top of your list, followed by food storage. But then, yes, you have to be ready to defend what you have, and I'm a big believer in .308 battle rifles. I like the HK91 clones, like the Vector or the PTR-91 are both quite good. They use original G3 part sets. It's just all built on an American receiver because of the import restrictions, and the original guns were full auto. These are semi-auto only. I think the HK is probably the way to go now, the HK clones, because the magazines and spare parts for so many of the other .308 battle rifles have gotten prohibitively expensive. A spare parts set for an M1A is now a $600 or $700 proposition. But with an HK clone, the parts are readily available, and the magazines are just plain dirt cheap. You can get them for as low as a dollar a piece. But you go buying magazines for an M1A, you're talking $20. For a FAL, you're talking $25. And for an AR-10, as much as $30. So I like the HK clones. In terms of handguns, I'm a big believer in .45 automatics, and even though I was a real diehard 1911 shooter for many, many years, I finally made the transition, and I'm now recommending either the Glock Model 21, which is a 45 automatic, or the Springfield Armory XD 45. Both of those are high-capacity, 13-round, 45 automatic pistols that are very, very reliable. Beyond that, of course, communications equipment, first aid gear, and all the training to go with it. For all this stuff, don't think just because you've bought the gear that you're ready. You really need to train with it, practice with it, know it inside and out. Get the best quality training you can. Go get training at places like Gunsight in Arizona or Front Sight in Nevada or Thunder Ranch in Oregon. There's some really good training out there, or work with one of the mobile trainers. It's really important that you get the training to go with this gear.
I agree with you. Expanding on that, what about the component of waking people up in your area so that they're aware of this threat? Even if they laugh at you up front, then once things unravel, they'll start listening to you. But then there's the catch-22. If they didn't get ready, they're not going to be prepared. They're going to be demanding you take care of them.
Well, that's why I recommend that people keep a low profile. I'm all for charity, and I think it's really important that people stock up. I have a three-year supply for my family here at the ranch, but I don't look at that as a three-year supply for one family. I look at that as a one-year supply for three families. Be ready to dispense charity, but be ready to do so through an intermediary so you can keep a low profile. You want to dispense that charity through your local church, for example, quietly. You just get together with your church elders and say, okay, I've got some extra food. I want to make it available. I don't want my name to ever be mentioned. That's my take on charity.
Because you know the old African saying, no good deed goes unpunished.
Yes, and the old Japanese proverb, the nail that sticks up gets hammered down. So it's important that people do stock up in depth and be prepared. And, you might want to get set up with a good old-fashioned hand-cranked mimeograph machine and a couple of good old-fashioned manual typewriters, because you may have to make a local newspaper with no power grid out there to support you. But you want to be able to distribute information in your local community and be ready to do that at the drop of a hat. It's old school.
What's your gut on different variants of collapses, running from bad to worse? I mean, obviously we're in a depression and it's going to get a lot worse. This is only the beginning, but I mean, is a 50% chance this stuff's going to unfold, 80%?
I don't like to put percentage chances on things, Alex. All I can say is there's definitely the chance for the worst case, which would be a grid-down collapse. But there's a very high likelihood that we're at the minimum going to see a decades-long depression that'll start out deflationary and then flip over into the nastiest hyperinflation you could imagine. So we're going to get whipsawed by first deflation and then mass inflation. That's probably the most likely course of events. But that outside chance, that outlier, that black swan, is the possibility of a grid-down collapse. And if you're prepared for the absolute worst case, or a grid down collapse, then you can take anything lesser in stride.
Don't let me interrupt. Continue with how people get ready.
Well, I suggest that people study up as best they can. Yeah, I like selling copies of my book, but people can get to my blog and dig in through the archives free of charge. Again, it's survivalblog.com. There's thousands and thousands of articles all available free of charge. Dig in. You have no excuse. I mean, even if you're unemployed and have to use a library computer, you can get on the internet and dig in and research this stuff. Stock up to the best of your ability, as best as your budget will allow. Team up with like-minded people in your church, in your neighbors, family members, whoever. Do so quietly. You don't want to start some enormous local organization then put a target on your back, but very quietly team up with your neighbors, stock up, train, cross-train with the skills that are available within your group. There's probably someone who's prior service, military. They can teach small unit tactics and things like NBC. you probably have people that are firefighters or former firefighters that can teach everything from CPR to, you know, how to save a house from burning down. Even the oldest member of your local community that's in your group probably knows how to do home canning and all those old-fashioned skills. And they, again, can cross-train everyone else. It's all a matter of teamwork, and it's a matter that you need to start with prayer. Sit down and pray about it. If you feel convicted, get prepared. Study up. Take full advantage of the free resources that are out there. And do the very best you can to prepare for your families.
Author of Survivors, James Wesley Rawls, is our guest here for just a few more minutes. He'll be back with us on the InfoWars Nightly News Friday. I would add I've done deep research on the very best gravity-fed stainless steel water filters out there, and I have chosen the ProPure as the best for my family. The others are great as well, but it's heads above. And by the way, we do sell those, and then it also supports our news operation when you buy the ProPure filters at InfoWars.com. That's in the preparedness section. I never even talk about those. I should more because they're amazing. They're bigger, they're better, they're impregnated with colloidal silver, ProPure water filters at InfoWars.com. In the few minutes we've got left, obviously Friday we'll go through your blog and go through some other areas. It's just that, you know, looking at this, with the whole depression we're seeing, it's good to just have storable food in case things continue to collapse because you'll at least have food.
Sure. I often like to say that storage food is not just for the worst case, not just for a disaster. It's also for personal disasters. What if you get laid off? You're out of work for 6 months. Well, food is one item you're not going to have to worry about. You'll always have food on the table. Also, by buying in bulk when you buy your storage food, you're eating cheap. If you buy rice in little one-pound packages at the store, you're paying five times the price you would pay if you buy it in the 50-pound sacks. So buy the 50-pound sacks, get some five-gallon food-grade plastic buckets, and bucket it up yourself. It's common sense. It's a good old-fashioned skill, and it saves money.
I have one last question.
Win-win-win.
It is a win-win-win. I have one last question for you. I'm seeing a huge awakening, especially in the military and police. 70%+ of donations for all the candidates are to Ron Paul. Do you see the same awakening that I'm seeing, and how does that factor in 1 minute?
Oh, absolutely. If you look at the growth of the preparedness movement, it's basically just doubling each year. Ever since Hurricane Katrina, it's been doubling. And there's a larger and larger percentage of our population that's catching on, that's waking up, and it's getting off their tails and doing something about it. All I can say is keep it up and spread the word. Get people listening to Patriot Radio. Get people teamed up locally and train together and stock up the best you can. That's the bottom line, because you really can't do too much more.
And I think that's why God's given us time, so the people like yourself and myself and many others who did have it put on our heart to get ready for this new world order and get laughed at, now it's all happening. Now people are finally listening because, unfortunately, we've been proven right.
That's right. Yeah, we're on a slippery slope, and our window of opportunity, pardon me for mixing metaphors, but our window of opportunity is closing. So make the very best of the time available to stock up. And first, get right with God. Second, get your beans, bullets, and Band-Aids together.
Well, that's what I've tried to explain to people. Folks, you better not take the internet for granted. This show, all this. I mean, look, I moved to the country and getting a deeper well dug and got guns. I mean, I know there's a very good chance this is going to go completely haywire. And if it doesn't, great, I live out in the country. James, we're going to be talking to you coming up Friday. God bless you. I appreciate all the time. I'll say bye to you during the break, okay?
Thanks, Alan.
Thank you. All right, we'll be right back. You know, talking to our guest, he let us use an old photo of him, but he's concerned, obviously, about the collapse being so real. He didn't even want to do video Skype with us. And, you know, I started thinking about the fact I'm this talk show host. I'm so out there in the open, and I covet my privacy, and I'm sacrificing my privacy to do this. I'm not complaining. I just hope people really consciously get it, that we're sacrificing a lot to bring you this info. And again, I'm not saying thank me or call in and thank me. I'm not asking for that. Don't get me wrong. I'm saying this is a big deal, what you're hearing. I mean, this it took a blood, sweat, tears, crawling up from nowhere to build this platform I've got today. From nowhere. Access Television, 1995. And it's because of the grace of God, and it's because of you, the supporters over the years, spreading the word about our work. And, I mean, go back to people in 1997. I still had two part-time jobs, because I couldn't get a full-time job. I had two part-time jobs, and I was doing a radio show by then, five nights a week, and getting paid almost nothing. And I was doing the Access TV show. So I was working about 16 hours a day then. And loving every minute of it, but crawling and scraping just to be able to reach people any way I could. And then I made that film, America Destroyed by Design. And I had a computer phone line to my computer where people could call and make credit card orders. And then I'd have to get my dad a couple nights a week to come over, because I wasn't good at computers, to help process the computer orders, you know, maybe like 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 a day, and then build up enough money to stop doing the jobs so I could do media full time. It's funny, though. We're never good at tooting our horn about how big we are. And until a few years ago, people would still say, what's your day job? Oh, I don't know. A few years ago, I was on about 70 AM and FM stations, XM, number one alternative news site in the world. I don't know what my day job is. What's yours? But again, I realize in this world, it's all bling and all that is about people knowing, hey, this is a success because that's what's respected. We should tell you more, the new listeners, our successes, where we've been right. But I'm always too busy covering the next thing to tell you how right we are. Like, I saw the Young Turks website last night. I was looking at some YouTube videos. Of course, our YouTube channel has many times more views than they do. My radio show dwarfs their XM show. We're on XM too. But that's not what irritated me. It was the statement of the number one news show on the web. Well, that's pure baloney. I am the number one news show, bar none, by Google Analytics, Alexa, YouTube, no one is close. No one is close. And it's irritating to watch some guy posing as an anti-establishment person. He has promo videos with Al Gore telling him how great he is, with current TV with like 5,000 viewers at any one time. Just total paper tiger facade. And then the whole site is how they're number one in all this in the alternative media, when they're not alternative media. You're on Al Gore, the criminal's stinking network, a disgusting piece of eugenics trash. Who owns oil companies in the rainforest and then is lecturing us about the environment when he's a larcenous crook, Al Gore is. But then I realized that young turd guy, it's like the young turds, you know, that's what it is. He is just an idiot and probably does think he's the number one thing. Again, I don't care about being number one, except that I am, and I'm sick of fakes saying they're number one. We're number one and then some. Okay, number one and then some. Number one and then some. But then I realized they attacked me a few years ago for saying CPS is taking children. That's communist pedophile services. You know it as child protective services. And I was going over how they take people's kids and how they have record numbers of raping them and all this, which is all in the Justice Department's own numbers, five times more likely than any other group. And he made a joke on his show and then the next and said I was lying and no such thing as CPS. And the next show he goes, oh, I got a lot of emails and calls. CPS, oh, that's what my wife is. We just call it something else in New York. I mean, here he is. He doesn't even know what CPS is and his wife's one. I mean, that's what I mean. They're just people that don't know about the real world are like children. They're like children, and they make me want to throw up. So maybe I should wear a suit and have a fancy set and be real arrogant and pull up in a limousine and have bling and all this stuff just so the sheeple pay attention. Because I just want to wake them up to the New World Order eugenics program and poisoning their food and water. And you know, they're having to plant separate crops for the honeybees of regular non-GMO because it's killing them all. You know, I'm into the real world, mega level stuff, and I see this fake alternative media run by Al Gore prancing around. It makes me want to throw up.
We're only making plans for Nigel. As this future in our British steel. We're only making plans for Nigel. Nigel's whole future is as good as steel. Yeah.
Nigel Farage is our guest, and the guys pulled up some music there. I guess I never heard it before. Making plans for Nigel. You sound like a bunch of commies now or something. Oh, we need some powerful music introducing. In fact, reset right there. Go to my Beowulf music. That's great. We've got to have proper drum roll for the Ron Paul of the UK helping expose the tyrants of the Euro dictatorship. This is proper intro to Nigel Farage. Here it is. Defending national sovereignty of the UK and England, and nobody like him really standing up to Herman Van Rompuy and the other scallywags there in the EU dictatorship. He's elected out of England, there to the EU Parliament, which has no authority. Upwards of 80% of their laws are made by the dictatorship. Greece is in flames. The heads of the EU admit it's a takeover. He's got breaking news with a member of the Greek government that told him something that he's going to break here. He'll also give us his take on Ron Paul. Nigel Farage joins us from UKIP.org from England. Thank you so much for giving us time, sir. Good to have you there with us.
There's a big story going on here, Alex, and people need to know about it.
There is. You've got the floor. Tell us what's going on in Greece.
Well, as you all know, we've got this project called the Euro, where a whole series of different economies were forced together, and the ambition was that once you had a single currency, you would be able to forge a new state of Europe, regardless of the fact that we all speak different languages and have different cultures, but this was the plan. Many of us from the start warned that this simply economically could not work because there wasn't actually a government for Europe. And what is happening inevitably is that the north and the south of Europe are dividing into two because of their different economies. And now what we've got is a European Union, which is behaving not in an undemocratic way, but in a deliberately democratic way. They have removed the elected Prime Minister of Greece and replaced him with one of their own puppets. And even a country the size of Italy, their Prime Minister has gone and been replaced by a former EU commissioner. And now what's happening is we're pushing upon these people austerity measures that are driving them into depression. You know, I know that the economies in the States and in England haven't been great the last couple of years. If I tell you now that in Greece, we have had five consecutive years of the economy contracting, and the fourth quarter figures for 2011 have just come through to show that that decline is now accelerating. It is now running at 7% per annum. That is the shrinkage in the Greek economy. And the people are getting to the state where, frankly, about a quarter of the population in Greece can barely afford to feed themselves. And people are now taking to the streets. And on Sunday, 80,000 people in Athens tried to storm the parliament. There were 5,000 police that were put in position using CS gas and everything else to stop them and to keep them out of the parliament. But 10 major buildings in the center of Athens burned. This is getting very, very serious. And my great fear, is that if we go on treating Greece like a colony, with its pride stripped, its democracy gone, with it being run by unelected bureaucrats, I think the result of this will be a revolution, and I really mean that.
I mean, how much more obvious, sir, does it have to get until we realize the euro is run by these big mega banks and admits it's trying to take over people's sovereignty? And no matter how many bailouts there are, the countries only go deeper into debt. And then now these technocrats are being put in charge over all these countries. I mean, how much will Europe put up with?
Well, that's a good question. And of course, when we talk about the bailouts, remember that all we're doing is we're giving the Greek government money so that it can pay it back to the banks that look stupid. They lent them the money in the first place. So none of this bailout money is actually helping the Greek people at all. And despite this dramatic fall in living standards, the current terms, and I have to say, these are German-dominated terms, whether one likes it or not, that's the truth, and the current terms are for a pay cut of another 22% of all the public sector employees. We saw the 80,000 people in Athens that were also protests going on in every single major Greek city and town. And you know, you get to a point where you say, just, you know, what else can people do? I mean, if you can't change your future through the ballot box, violence is the only resort you have left. Now, they deployed 5,000 police, as I just mentioned, on Sunday. The Greek Prime Minister said, we will not tolerate this behaviour. But there is one encouraging sign that has come out, and that is a statement that was issued earlier on today by the Greek Police Federation, who said they were unhappy about some of the tactics being used. So you see, the point is this. If the Greek police force in the end refuse to take these orders, then there will be a revolution that will tear down the very fabric of this whole unelected puppet government. The trouble is, Alex, that, you know, when these things happen, it tends to result in quite a heavy loss of life as well. So I'm not pessimistic in the sense that I think these plans for, you know, this sort of new order of government where bureaucrats take over from Democrats, I think in the end the people are going to rebel and bring it down, but it may happen at a terrible, terrible price.
Now, you, of course, helped found the UKIP party, and now it's the fastest growing party in the UK. Your ideas of basic liberty, pretty much libertarian, school of thought, basic freedom, Magna Carta, really 1776 type ideas, is now spreading over Europe. And when I say you are now the Ron Paul, not just of England or the UK, but you're seen now more and more in Europe itself as a focal point, because you boldly have accurately called exactly what the EU bureaucracy was going to do. But now the EU bureaucracy themselves are saying we've got to have a carbon tax on all aircraft for a global government, new world order. Now Ban Ki-moon is saying global tax, world government. Now Germany's saying, yes, no single family dwellings now to be built under carbon taxes. I mean, these are real authoritarians. I see articles out of England where they're saying the state will take control of all children at birth and to keep your children will be probationary. I mean, it's like 1984. How much more obvious does this EU world government tyranny have to get? What's your prognosis on how long they can keep going? Because it's just naked control freak tyranny at a cartoon level.
Well, there are two things that are going to break it, as I say, in those Mediterranean countries. And just have a think about this statistic. Youth unemployment in those Mediterranean countries is now 50% of young people unemployed. The deflationary death spiral of 7% contractions annually in the economies of these countries. So, I mean, the cat's out of the bag. I think people are waking up. What we're really waiting for, I think in many of these countries, we need some more strong leaders to emerge. We need some people with clear thinking. We need some people that understand that democracy and liberty are things that are so vital and important in a free country that indeed our grandparents actually went to war to defend those very principles that are now being surrendered. And the other thing in the end, I think, that might break it too, are the markets. Because whatever they try and do in Europe, and they say, oh, well, it's all the speculators. But what the bond markets reflect is that investors realize that these countries are basically going bankrupt. And it's all well and good. They can bail out Greece. They can turn Greece into a colony. They can do the same with Portugal. Small countries. But remember, the question that is now being asked is, what about Italy too? Italy is a big country in European terms with 62 million people. It's one of the biggest countries in Europe. And it seems to me that when the bond markets take fright in Italy, and I confidently predict that will happen, then, you know, however much money they print, whatever kind of Ponzi scheme they try and come up with, I think the Italian problem may prove to be just too big to them. So it could end in financial chaos as well.
All right. Now, again, I'm not just here praising you for no reason. Your debates, your discussions, the articles you've written going back years are all there on record. You accurately predicted what is now happening in Spain and Portugal and Italy. You predicted what would happen in Ireland. Everybody's seeing that globalism is death to a country. But we're also learning that most of this debt is the government signing on to the big mega banks' debt. And the mega banks are using the crisis to try to shut down all their competition. They're trying to move the power to Frankfurt, as you've exposed. So there's this major internal power struggle going on in the elites. We saw your own prime minister go from being a cheerleader for the euro takeover of what's left of the UK to now having to reverse himself. I want to ask you why he did that, and what does that move signify?
Well, David Cameron went to a summit before Christmas, and if you remember, he was supposedly going to veto this new European treaty, this fiscal union treaty. The truth of it is, he was a reluctant hero. He didn't really want to do that. But the financial transaction tax that was being proposed would have meant Britain paying 80% of the bill, and it would have closed down our biggest single industry. And you know, one of that in Britain, we're good at financial services. I don't mean mega banks. I mean the insurance industry. I mean the investment fund industry. I mean the foreign exchange industry. Britain was a reluctant hero, but they've managed to drop that proposal, and he has now collapsed, and he is now supporting openly the plan for democracy to be abolished across the whole of Europe, and people like my old friend Herman Van Rompuy to become effectively unelected dictators. Cameron, believe you me, guys, Cameron is part of the problem, not part of the solution. He supports carbon taxes. He's a total believer that we need supranational organisations to control our industries and our output. And Cameron is, in fact, disappointing now. I think millions of right-minded, conservative, Eurosceptic, patriotic voters in Britain, and the Conservative Party in Britain, is in real crisis now.
All right, expanding on the mood in Britain, the mood in the United States, the mood in Europe, people are waking up to the New World Order, but these bureaucrats are not even disagreeing with you. They're saying in The Economist magazine and Rumpy and the new head of the EU are all saying, yes, we're going to set the rules and you can't vote on it. Yes, we're going to send tax collectors into your country. Yes, we're going to do whatever we want. And yes, so instead of denying it, they're just giggling wildly when I watch these debates on C-SPAN or on YouTube and laughing at you and looking like, you know, miscreant villains out of a Bond movie. Why are they so arrogant, and will it backfire on them?
They're arrogant because they hold the cards at the moment. You know, they are in possession of the status quo. It is the tyranny of the status quo. But you're quite right about that arrogance. This afternoon, I met Mr. Monti, who is now the appointed Prime Minister of Italy. And he was effectively just sticking two fingers up to us and saying, look, I'm in charge, whether you like it or not, this is the way that it's going to be. So there is a sort of a mood of hubris amongst these people going around at the moment, but I still believe that Nemesis will follow, because the markets will break them, and the peoples of Europe, the peoples of particularly the Mediterranean, you're going to see revolutions, Alex. I mean it. You're going to see mass movements that bring these governments down. You cannot drive people into hopeless poverty. You cannot remove them of their pride and self-respect and not get a massive reaction. And I think what we saw in Athens on Sunday with those, I mean, you know, anyone that's seen the TV pictures, they're incredible pictures. I mean, here is this ancient capital of Greece, you know, the country that invented democracy, and much of it going up in flames. And as far as I'm concerned, you ain't seen nothing yet, because these new proposals are so bad that you push people too far, they will respond and react. I would rather this didn't have to happen. I would rather we had proper democratic solutions, but I'm afraid the bad guys have possibly just got too much power now for anything other than some massive social upheaval bringing it down.
Well, everybody uses Hitler as an analogy, but you've got to use it if it fits. You talked about Europe militarily trying to take over Russia and England, Britain, and, you know, Hitler turning east like Napoleon. Now these bureaucrats have that same megalomania, power-mad hubris, and they're going wild. And they're telling Greece, we're going to take even private pension funds. They're now announcing that here, take part of them. They're telling Portugal that. Now your own pension fund is supposedly welfare, while saying, you know, you have to live under austerity, but then the governments themselves are stealing trillions of dollars to give it to their friends. They're the ones that are really on corporate welfare. And so it's just all coming to a head. And you mentioned that you met with a member of the Greek government. And tell folks that story.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you this story. Last week, I was in Brussels, and I got a request from a guy, could he come and see me? An elderly man in his middle late 70s with a very distinguished career behind him. This guy had been a Greek ambassador to several major countries around the world. He'd even, on behalf of the Greek government, negotiated back in the early 1980s, Greece's membership of the European community. So I'm talking about somebody here who is a real establishment figure in Greece, and a very charming and a very nice man in many ways. And what he told me frightened the life out of me. He said to me, Nigel, I got to tell you that at the weekend, I went down to the back streets of Athens and I bought myself a Kalashnikov. And I looked at him and I sort of blinked a bit and thought, did I hear that right? He said, yes. He said, I got to tell you that myself and my friends, those of us that are comparatively well off, we live in on the outskirts of Athens. We live in big detached houses, and we're all going down and for 100 euros buying Kalashnikovs because we believe the time is close when we're going to have to defend our property. So desperate are the ordinary poor people for food and possession. And when you think about, you know, somebody of that social status who is so scared he's buying a Kalashnikov to defend his family, you realize that we've actually got in some of these countries, we are on the edge. We are literally on the edge of a total breakdown in society. And, you know, I'm sure there are some big banks and big industrialists who perhaps are rubbing their hands and saying, well, the sooner Greece goes bankrupt, the better, because we can buy up the shipyards and buy up the islands and buy up the land. But the sheer price in human suffering, I don't think that, frankly, the world's normal, formal media is not giving the right level of attention to.
Well, the globalists are going to have a lot of trouble ever getting away with this. I mean, that's the problem. They're committing such huge crimes. Look what they did in Argentina 12 years ago. They've done this over and over again. And the worst part is they then scapegoat capitalism and blame it when this is not capitalism doing this. This is bureaucratic crony insiders robbing everyone.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost a new form of communism, isn't it, really? You know, if you think about it, it is the state and the big banks wanting to control absolutely everybody's lives. They couldn't give a damn about how much human suffering and misery they cause. They're stripping away the basic fundaments of liberty, of democracy, of all the things that we in the West have held dear for years. And I have to say that for many, many years over here, I was a very lonely voice. But I tell you what, I'm hearing more voices now. And there are more people, even amongst the political class, who are now having the courage to stand up and say things.
Amazing. Nigel Farage, one last segment with you. We'll be back with some other key questions straight ahead. All right, final segment. I could talk to this guy for 10 hours. He's a hard guy to get on with. He was just meeting with the new appointed dictator of Italy right before he got on the show. But here he is with us, the Ron Paul of Britain and now of Europe. I mean, really emerging as the main focal point leader along with UKIP, UKIP.org. If folks want to get involved with a true group fighting for sovereignty against this global tyranny. We were talking during the break about him surviving a horrible freak plane crash that the pilot's still in really bad shape from and how suspicious that was. But hopefully they won't have a second one because then it'll really be obvious. We were talking about getting out of the euro, but you were pointing out during the break it's designed as a fraud. And so it's like impossible to get out of unless people just wake up to the fraud.
Yeah, I mean, these guys that set this European project up were very, very clever, very, very devious people. And they wrote the treaties in such a way that you were designed to get into the thing, but never, ever to be able to get out of the thing. It's rather like a lobster pot or a crab pot. There's a nice, juicy bait, and you can get into the pot easily, but getting out is impossible. So there are no provisions in the European treaties for any country ever leaving the euro. That is how they set this whole thing up. These are bad people, and as far as I'm concerned, these treaties should be declared null and void because, you know, the most massive fraud has been perpetrated upon the peoples of Europe. And I think the great public, you know, in France and in Germany, the ordinary people are beginning to wake up to what's been done in their names.
Ron Paul, what's your perspective on how the media has been ignoring him and demonizing him?
It's fascinating. I must say, the more I listen to and the more I read what Ron Paul has to say, the more fascinated and the more respect I have for this guy, because this guy's got courage. He understands that people want to be set free from big government, and he's not, you know, he's not scared of taking on any issue at all. And, you know, I watch him. There was one of the primaries the other day where Ron Paul got 27%, an amazing figure. And yet the BBC virtually refuse to even admit the fact that he's actually contesting the race. And I understand that many conventional parts of the US media have been the same. And it's kind of, you get a Ron Paul figure that comes along and challenges basic assumptions. And perhaps, to some extent, I've tried to do some of the same things over on this side of the Atlantic. And it's like a media blackout. So I just admire Ron Paul. He's worked hard at this for years. And whilst he's not going to become the president, I think the ideas that he's sowing in America, and particularly amongst the younger generation, those ideas will survive long after Ron Paul.
All right. In closing, sir, and I've again been honored to have you with us right after your meeting with the dictator of Italy. Is the tide turning? Has it turned, or are we close to turning it? I mean, where would you put us on a timeline? Because, I mean, now you can see the euro collapsing. It's being talked about more. Or will it just collapse into something even worse?
We are now entering in Europe the single most dangerous period that we've been in since 1945, and I don't say that lightly. This is because, as the project fails, the determination of its authors to maintain the project becomes greater. We've already seen them do things that nobody could have believed. The removal of elected prime ministers in Greece and Italy perhaps being the best example of that. I even wonder if in the end the Greek police force won't put down their own citizens, whether the EU itself might even move a force in. These people are bad people. They are capable of virtually anything. But however strong their determination to keep this thing going, the fact is that the fundamentals, the economic fundamentals, say that in the end the global markets are going to break it, and there is going to be the most massive rebellion across Europe. In some countries, it'll manifest itself in the ballot box. In other it will manifest itself, as I've said already tonight, in some kind of revolution that will take place. I think, I have to say, all the years I've been in politics, I think in terms of Europe and its future, 2012 is the key crucial year. I believe, if I have to make a prediction, I believe, however hard they try, that Greece will leave the euro this year. She will go back to the drachma, she'll have a devaluation, her economy will start recovering, and then the Portuguese will say, we want out too, and the Spanish will say,
incredible,
we want out too.
Incredible.
Coast to coast, direct from Austin. You're listening to the Alex Jones Broadcasting Network.
Okay, we've gone into overdrive with Nigel Farage, of course, a member of the European Union Parliament, the main leader of the UK Independence Party, and just an amazing individual who, if you haven't, the reason I'm a big fan, and I'm talking about big fan, like people are soccer fans or football fans, I'm a fan of people kicking globalists hind end. And they hate him when he gets up there to those sniveling slime bags like Rumpy. He's been censured or threatened with censure as well. But he was finishing up with his prediction. So recap that and finish up, sir.
Well, I think 2012 is going to be the single most important year that we've seen in Europe, certainly in the time that I've been involved in politics. Everything is coming to a head. These guys will do everything they can to try and defend their euro project and to try and keep their big government project going, but they're having trouble with the markets, they're having trouble with the peoples of Europe, as they were in Athens, standing up and rebelling. that in 2012, Greece will leave the euro. And once one country's left the euro, had a devaluation, and other countries see that suddenly, with a currency at the right level, suddenly investment starts to come in, people start going on holidays to their country, I think then we'll see countries like Portugal, Ireland, Spain, and possibly even Italy, saying to themselves, hey, we've been sold a pup here, this thing's a con, we've got to get our currencies back, we've got to get our democracies back. I am confident that 2012 will mark the beginning of the end of this appalling, disgusting project.
Wow. So when you met, just briefly, when you met with Mario today, the technocrat installed by the EU weasels, I mean, what did he say to you? What did you ask him?
I said he had no legitimacy at all, that he was an appointee, he'd spent his life as a European commissioner and working for Goldman Sachs, and that he represented all that was worse in this whole new global government movement that you talk about so often on your program. And his response is that the crisis is so serious that democracy has to be suspended just for a short while so that we can sort everything out. You know, we've seen, haven't we, in the past, countries that claim emergency powers. Hitler did it in Germany, suspended democracy because of an emergency and never ever gave it back. And I don't think these guys have any intention of giving democracy back and say, we the people have got to take it from them. It could be turbulent, it could be difficult, some of it could be unpleasant, but it's a fight we've got to fight. And I think we've got to remember that those that went before us, who actually created democracy, liberty, and freedom of the individual, these guys were actually prepared to go to war to fight to defend these things. We, I'm afraid, are going to have to do much the same kind of thing.
All right, we've only got a minute left. Again, we appreciate your time. Was this... on the floor, was this videoed? Because I know they're admitting we're getting rid of freedom, but I mean, to have them publicly admitting it to you, or was this privately?
No, this was privately, and it's always a combination here. You know, you get the chance on the floor to speak to these people, but sometimes meeting them in private is more interesting. And I had a very interesting meeting with Angela Merkel in November. I said, Chancellor Merkel, this isn't working. The German taxpayers are putting huge amounts of money in to bail out the banks through the Greek government. Wouldn't it be better for everybody to admit that the euro's a failure and to let Greece leave? She said, Mr. Farage, we can't do that, because if Greece leaves, all the others will leave. And if they all leave, the European project will fail, and then we'll just go back to being nation states from their own mouths.
Unbelievable. And choice and sovereignty and honor. Incredible. So is the arrogance a act like with Al Gore, or do you think they're still delusional? I mean, are you seeing a change in their spirit as they lose momentum?
Interestingly, 6 months ago, there was a sort of feeling of blind panic over here. Everything was going wrong. They were terrified, and you could see the fear on their faces. I'm not seeing any fear at all now. It's as if perpetual crisis has become a new form of government, and they now realize that they can actually get away with almost anything. At least they think they can get away with anything. For a country the size of Italy, to have somebody like this man Monti appointed to take it over, and for that to have happened, they are completely out of control.
Well, it's not the first time they had Mussolini. Nigel Farage, thank you so much for the time. UKIP.org. God bless you. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
All right, folks, there he goes. Amazing. Key Info coming up. And then back tonight, 7 o'clock Central. Don't forget, I'm speaking in Dallas this weekend. Info at Infowars.com/events. You can still get tickets to that. All right, incredible.